Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Feels like work. Shooting the shit for 2 hours, drinking beer, and talking beer. What a wonderful experience.
Can we not have the barf bucket near my mixing board?
I think everybody can read the book.
I knew you were going to use this book as an excuse to quit doing this show.
Mrs. Bub, if you want, I can mail you the Bub Timer.
Yeah, Newcastle. Especially in the can. Have you ever had it in the can? No, I have not had it in the can.
Notice I closed my eyes and I concentrated really hard.
Now, live from the Brewing Network studios in Northern California, this is the radio program for home brewers, craft brewers, beer lovers, and beer geeks. It's your only source for live beer radio that brings expert brewers together with, well, expert drinkers. This is the radio program with a head on it. This is The Session.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Session. I'm your host today, Justin Crosley. My third sober show in a row, making history here at the Brewing Network.
Wait a minute.
Joined by Sean Sully O'Sullivan.
It's Sully.
Hi, Sully.
I don't know anything about this.
I emailed you about this, even. I thought you'd find it fascinating that I'm on a sober kick.
Wait, recently? Because we've talked a lot about a bunch of different issues you've had over time.
Right. No, this one's new.
Okay.
Sobriety's my newest issue.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's happening. That's awesome.
Well, like I said, my third show. So a couple weeks ago, then was my first show, and I realized in the 15 years of doing this, I had never done a show without a beer. I'm not saying I was always like hammered on a show or anything, but what I call sober, like completely sober.
Yeah, you were always had like, a beer going or something like that.
Yeah. So that was the first time, and now it's been going. It's my third week in a row.
Are you just not? You're just drinking full time, full 24/7, but not during the show?
No. I haven't had a drop of alcohol.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah. Well, that's a lie. Because we've had in-studio guests, I've had about 3 to 4 ounces of beer.
Okay, so you're tasting. You're still doing the work.
And honestly, if they had been call-in guests, I wouldn't even have done that.
You would have been sipping water. Yeah, it's delicious.
I would have had JP and Teresa just tell me how it tasted. Okay. But they had come down, just like today's guest, by the way, who's Crucible Brewing Company out of Washington. Because they had come down and brought beer, I was like, well, I got to like
have you got a taste.
But other than that,
it's like I'm intentionally like fighting against your sobriety because the last three guests and then the next three guests.
Yeah.
All in studio.
All in
studio. Load them up.
Right.
Bring them in.
Bevo won't let me go full sober. No,
I think you might die.
That's funny because when I came, I just got here a few minutes ago, and you were so Johnny on the spot to get water for the studio. I was like, wow, Justin's really moving quick and with the water today.
I'm like, well, I have a little more coffee when I'm sober. And so, like, yeah.
How you feeling?
He texts me at 5 and he's good. Like, can you bring in some coffee?
Yeah.
5 a.m.
I feel good. You know, the first couple weeks, there wasn't a big difference, but I feel a little different now. I feel a little Johnny on the spot. You know, I'm like ready to go. I'm raring to go.
Well, there was zip in your step, and I had no idea where it was coming from. Now it all makes sense.
Yeah. So listeners have had to hear about it for a couple weeks.
Well,
but
you
I
gotta
thought
talk
they
about
would
it.
Want to know. Yeah,
yeah,
because
gotta...
it's never happened before.
Yeah, and you talk about everything, so it's a natural extension, which is important because, you know, you put it out there and people relate or laugh.
Right. You know what I found out? Apparently, I don't have IBS. Now, I've never really talked about that, but that's kind of been a problem. And no, it turns out I'm just allergic to yeast or something.
Oh,
I don't know what. Or God forbid if I find out I'm fucking gluten intolerant
Celiac.
Or some bullshit.
Yeah. Have you had that checked out?
No.
Are you eating bread or?
Yeah, know? Actually, I am. And so
well,
and that's not having any
fine.
Effect.
It's
yet.
Fine. Dr. Sean says it's fine. Dr. Sully says it's fine.
Yeah. So I'm just giving the old organs a break. You know, I figure they could use a little
recovery.
Yeah,
they probably can. I can relate. You know, I'm a much older gentleman than you.
Not much.
Well, okay. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got to kind of like let up on the gas a couple times just
sure.
to see what's going on. Make sure you're okay.
And I haven't done that since I'm like 9 years old. So I figured it was like,
it was time to do it. Wow.
So.
Hey, so I just to pivot here for a second.
Yeah.
I came to the show today, drove in, didn't take BART, so I don't have a BART story today.
Okay.
And I came through the back way through Berkeley, so Briones and all, beautiful drive,
oh, yeah.
Green Hills, cows, wonderful.
Right.
But then I end up, I'm driving through Pacheco.
Ah.
And I go by the street, Ironwood, that you pull off with a guy with a four like flagpoles.
Yeah.
And I was like, this looks familiar.
The old studio.
I was just, you know, within seconds of the Rat Pad.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So,
and you haven't been there in, gosh, over 5 years, more than that, really.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, do you know the people who moved in? I mean, is there any story back? Is it still there? Was it burned down after, you know,
no.
Sam and a firework accident or something?
It was my landlord. That was Nate, by the way.
And I just like saying Sam.
It was my landlord that moved in. It was
okay.
So he bought the house like before he had a family. Always like intent. He was like a very planned out guy.
I will do this.
He just and he knew like I'll rent it out, and one day when I get married and I'm ready, I will then move in, and all of that happened.
We will perform missionary. I will have children.
Does he still? Does he live there, Bevo? Yeah, he does. Poor guy. I mean,
really?
if he only knew what went on in that house.
I was there fairly recently because he's a friend of Sam's, and it's a completely different house. It doesn't look, they've changed everything.
Well, that's good.
It's a new kitchen. Like, it's different.
Good for them.
It needed it.
Yeah.
The kitchen, there was nothing wrong with the kitchen.
It was fine. It was very
except
90s.
For that every time you opened the cabinet, one of them would fall off.
That's true. That did happen.
And the island countertop flung off one night.
That happened.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
What's in the garage?
Is he
still using the garage as a studio? Just please say yes. Lie to me.
Yes, but I don't know what for, and I don't want to know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
that's good. I haven't been by there in a while, so...
It was nice. It was like kind of a weird, like, you know, old memory just lodged loose as I was driving. I was like, this looks really familiar.
Yeah.
And almost made a left turn right there.
Right. You should have just knocked on
the door and said, hey, where's the motorcycle?
Yeah. He's like, Where's Doc? He would have known. He would have known what you're talking about. He was a cop, my landlord, too. So I remember when I moved out. He had to come bring me my security deposit at my new house, which is like in a nicer neighborhood in Martinez. And he was kind of an asshole. He was fucking with me. He pulls up. I'm there for like a week. He parks his cruiser like halfway in the street, halfway in the driveway, turns the lights on, knocks on my door, and he's just like, hey, Justin, I just want to give you a security deposit. I'm like, really? You had to let the whole neighborhood think
you just moved in?
I just moved in.
We've got a drug dealer here.
Yeah.
This guy's trouble.
Exactly. What an asshole.
Keep an eye out for this one.
All right. Well, we got a great show planned for you today. Crucible Brewing Company out of Everett and Woodinville. They've got a couple locations in Washington. They've come down to hang out with us, and they brought us beer. So we'll be talking to them. JP has just made it to the studio.
Hello.
Welcome, JP.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. Glad you're here. All right. Let's do some announcements, and they're brought to you today by Beersmith. You can go to beersmith.com and check out their Beersmith brewing software. You get a free 21-day trial. You've heard me say this. You should go do it if you haven't already. You'll love it. It's the best brewing software on the market, but you don't have to take my word for it because he'll give you 21 days for free. Brad over there is a very nice gentleman, too. He does a lot for the beer industry, including keeping that software up to date. So go to beersmith.com and check it out.
I like the 21 reference there. That's good.
21 days,
Just cross-promoting. Yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Not officially, though.
Unofficially, 21. All right, so, you know, SF Beer Week is coming up. And we've got a few events coming up. And I'm working with Sierra Nevada on an exciting event. And they're celebrating their 40th anniversary in craft beer.
Wow.
Yeah. In 1980, the founder, of course, Ken Grossman, started Sierra Nevada with a hand-built brew house that was made out of recycled dairy equipment. And they've now mounted that onto a trailer.
Oh.
And it's doing a tour of the Bay Area during SF Beer Week.
I saw that at GBF.
If you want to, yeah, it's very cool. If you want to check it out and find out where you can see it, you can go to sierranevada.com/events and you'll see that. But on Wednesday, February 12th, down at the Torpedo Room in Berkeley, I'm going to do a live podcast with Ken Grossman and Charlie Bamforth. So you can come on in, you can taste beer, you can see the equipment that will be parked right out front there, and of course I'll make that podcast available too for those of you who aren't in California. But if you're in the Bay Area, you should come out to that. It's the Torpedo Room in Berkeley. I believe it's going to start at 6:30 on Wednesday, February 12th. But you can see it all throughout Beer Week. They're gonna be at the opening gala on Friday, the 7th. They're going to be at Celebration of Craft on Saturday the 15th, B Street in Hayward on Sunday. Just go to sierranevada.com/events, and you'll be able to find out where it's at. And I'm excited to get to do that interview, too. Also, coming up...
Are you nervous?
You know, not anymore. And I'll tell you what, Sully, it's because of you.
Of course it is.
See?
Keep going. I knew where this was going. That's why I did that for you.
I'm pretty sure that Ken didn't like me all that much up until... I did the interview with you and Ken and Garrett
from
Maui at your place.
Yes.
And since then, every time Ken's got a thing to moderate, they call me up.
Really?
So I think he realized that I wasn't quite the buffoon I let on to be.
Well, you had history with him.
Like,
didn't you?
Kind of, sort of. I had just heard a rumor that he didn't approve of maybe some of our content.
Gotcha.
in the past. But... In his defense, I don't blame him. Like, if you don't get to know us, we are kind of, you know.
If you take a snapshot of it, it's like, oh, my God.
Like, what are they doing?
What word did they just use?
So I think it took 10 or 15 years for him to hear something good that we do. And now they call me all the time, so I'm not nervous. I love to talk with him now.
You get cards from him in the mail.
you send
go
me
to the house for dinner.
Christmas cards. I'm waiting for an invite to fly on the jet. But
well, you were really good on that panel. So this is like a Safeway thing. I think it was like a big regional meeting.
And
Ken and then Garrett and I were on this panel, and you were awesome. I mean, it was just like a conversation. So why would he not like you?
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah.
I always joke about myself that I'm a Labrador. If you give me a job, I will do it. And I need a job. If I don't have a job, I flounder.
I think you were like a Labradoodle.
And maybe that's fine too.
A little skittish.
And you called me and you told me the environment, and I'm like, I can do this.
Go get the bone. Get the bone.
And that's what I am. I'm a Labrador. So anyhow. Now, every time they call me up, I'm really excited. So, no, I'm not nervous. And we just interviewed Charlie not too long ago, too. So it's going to be a great time. Join us at the Torpedo Room.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Okay, save the date and buy your tickets right now to Spring Brews Festival. That's Saturday, March 28th, right here in Concord. That's the Brewing Network's 11th annual beer festival. You'll find the 2-1-A beer on tap there.
Oh, thank you.
I saw you guys signed up for that.
Yeah, we did.
Get your tickets now. Go to brewingnetwork.com and just click on the big thing that says tickets. And you can buy them there. Get them now because the price goes up later. And right now they're $40. We'll have 62 or 65 breweries, whatever we end up with in the end there. And it's always a good time. All right. If you want to support us, there's a couple easy ways to do it. You can do your Amazon shopping by clicking the Amazon link on our homepage. That's an easy way to do it. And you can also sign up and join the BN Army for as little as $2 a month. You're entered into the More Beer monthly donation giveaway, which is a chance to win $100 to spend at More Beer. And More Beer, of course, is the sponsor of this show. Check them out at morebeer.com. All right. What else? Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that shit. You can send your feedback to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Send your ideas over there, too, if you want to hear from a brewery. Or if you want me to stop at a brewery on our 2020 North American tour, send it to feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com. Twitter game?
Twitter game.
Great.
Feverishly working on it over here in my little corner, pushed up against a wall, drinking
cold beer.
Let's see. Twitter games brought to you today. Why not? By the 21st Amendment.
Oh, is that a new brewery, Justin?
No.
I feel like they should have been around for a long time.
It's like the grab bag sponsor there. You just pulled one out. Like, who should I give this to today?
Why not the 2-1-A?
You
can still find, I think, their seasonal released tasty IPA on the shelves.
You know, right? I think that should be the new tagline for the 2-1-A. Why not the 2-1-A?
Why not the 2-1-A?
Why not?
It's actually, in today's craft beer climate, that's a good tagline. Right?
There's over 8,000 of us. Why not the 2-1-A?
I like it, actually. Because if you're at home, you're like, I don't know why not.
I can't argue with that.
Right.
You can't argue with that.
No.
I go to the Nano Brewer down the street, or why not the 2-1-A?
Well, you can still find
By the way, support the Nano Brewer community. Please, no letters.
But not the micro. Forget them. It's Nano and then regional.
I did not say that, right. Your Honor.
Tasty IPA, still on the shelves. Of course, that was started as a collaboration with Tasty McDole, and now it's part of their regular seasonal lineup. It's 6.8% ABV and 58 IBUs. Got a ton of hops in it. Calypso, Simcoe, Azaka, Amarillo, Citra, Simcoe Lupulin Pellets, Centennial, Cascade, Equinox, Cascade Lupulin Powder, Mosaic, and then again with the Azaka. I don't know why. Because by the time Sully got to the end of it, he had forgotten that he had already set aside. That's how many hops are in.
I have to rewrite that. The point, like, we had a long-running ad on here that I think you stopped reading.
Yeah.
Because it was so damn old. Because we've been sponsoring the show since day one.
Yeah.
And I think it's like Nico and I talking about, like, you know, we were opening Washington and Alaska, you know, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so I put that together. We've had a good fun reading the fact that all hops are listed, and some are repeated.
And some repeated. Get it today on the shelves. Tasty IPA. It's a great beer. All right.
Thank you. What is
our Twitter game today?
Well, you know, we've been around for a long time, Justin, and we've lamented over the years that nobody has done a documentary series on us yet.
That's true. Why not?
Well, I want to let you know that on the way over here, I was checking my email. Netflix finally reached out to us. Yeah,
wow.
I know.
That's awesome.
It's hard to believe, right?
Yeah, not really.
I find it very difficult to believe.
Yeah, but it's true.
Yeah.
So they reached out to us to do our story, to tell our story, documentary style, and I want to know what we should call it. Because, of course, we have, and I insisted, I negotiated, we get final cut and we get final say on the title.
Okay.
So it's up to us. And then I don't know what to call it, so I'm asking dummies who are on Twitter listening to the show at the same time.
Got it. What is the title of the Netflix Brewing Network documentary?
The new one.
The official, ready to go.
I love it. Great game.
I like that one. That's a good one. I can understand that one.
Me too.
Sometimes the Twitter games, I'm like, I don't know what's going on right now, but I'm going to pretend like I do.
Yeah.
That's when the brain worms take over a little bit, and then I think it's, you know, anyway.
I like it.
Thanks.
All right, let's do some feedback.
All right.
Feedback's brought to you today by the Beer Law Center, as always. Go to beerlawcenter.com, and John will take good care of you, I promise.
Is it hot in here?
He's a good guy. He's got a great team over there. Go to beerlawcenter.com. All right, Jeff writes in. He says, not Jeff.
God damn it, dude.
Fucking Jeff, go
this
ahead.
Guy sucks.
He says, as someone in the industry that also struggles with the professional demand to drink, I just wanted to thank Justin for talking about his experiment with Dry January. He put in quotes like joking voice. He says, if someone like him can find a way to do this, anybody can. So for real, thank you from Jeff.
Actually, I'm thinking of a different Jeff. Sorry, Jeff.
Okay.
That's a good one, Jeff. Sorry, I was too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you don't mind me talking about it. I figured that I had to do it. And as much as, you know, it's kind of a backhanded compliment, I kind of agree with you. If I can do it, anybody can.
That's true.
I mean, drinking beer is so ingrained in my daily routine that it's kind of ridiculous. And, I tend to not abuse it. I'm not saying there's not been several drunken nights in my life, but, you know, I get my work done and I don't drink before five. You know, all your regular, like, alcoholic, not alcoholic comments.
I think both of those are incorrect, but that's all right.
So, anyway, And it's also my job.
Right.
Agreed that if I can do it, anybody can. So I do encourage anyone, if you haven't taken a break for a while. And by the way, I used to laugh at this. People come in here and go like, I'm doing
dry January. Yeah,
by the way, I'm not doing dry January. Just coincidentally, it was a day in January that I woke up and was like, you know what? I'm going to try not drinking. I'm going to see what that's all about.
It was like the universe, man.
It was like random. And I might continue on
after.
There's
a whole program about this? I can't believe I'm participating.
Yeah. I might continue on after January. I haven't really decided. I have no deadlines for myself. Anyway, I used to laugh at people who did it. I was like, God, like, why would you even do that? It sounds so miserable.
Yeah.
But you know, it's not miserable at all. It's been fine.
See, that's how you know you're getting older, is when things that are miserable aren't so miserable anymore. You just accept the open embrace of death. You know who I talked to today who's doing dry January? John Schumann.
Yeah, I talked to them too.
He
does have an ulterior motive too, and this I could never have done.
Right.
It's because he's also quitting smoking. And for him, the two go hand in hand.
100%.
So if he's going to have a beer, he's going to smoke.
Yeah.
So in order to quit smoking, he had to stop drinking. And I told him, you know, I quit the two separately, right? Like, I quit smoking a while back.
Yeah.
I could not have done both. Like, fuck that. Like,
right.
And it wasn't even all that difficult. I'm not saying that. But I'm not so a glutton for punishment that I would do both at the same time.
Well, I think it's hard to do self-care twice, right?
Yeah,
like,
sure.
That kind of thing where you're like, well, at least I'm quitting smoking, but I can be healthier and whatever, and I won't stink, and no one will make fun of me behind my back and all this kind of shit. And then to do that while not drinking at the same time, like,
it's too much.
That's a lot of self-maintenance to do.
Yeah. Am I going to stop rubbing one out at the same time, too? Am I going to give up all my fucking things?
Well, no. I mean, for me, that's dry January.
That's what I thought self-maintenance was. Self-maintenance is jerking off.
You guys both have different opinions of...
You know, your skin looks
tomato,
better.
Tomato.
So, thank you for that.
I've noticed that. Your skin looks better.
Blush, little foundation.
Yeah, my skin has felt a little better. Yeah.
It also looks better.
Yeah. Yeah, strange things happen when you stop for that amount of time. So again,
also when you're incredibly hydrated.
I am so hydrated. I'm so hydrated.
Call me sponge.
So I've said this on my reports on this before. It turns out it doesn't really matter what the liquid is. I just drink a lot.
Yeah.
So like if it's in my glass, I'm going to drink a lot of it.
Right.
So I drink water like nobody's business. I have to stop myself from drinking water. It's too much water. Nothing.
You have an app that says, Justin, please stop. You're drinking too much water.
No, but I was having side effects.
You
can have too much.
Yeah, you can. You get too hydrated.
Right. And I'm like, Jesus, I had nothing in moderation with me.
It's either zero or it's a million miles an hour.
It's 100%. Which is, people ask me, like, when I quit smoking, they're like, oh, like, you cut back. And I'm like, no. There's no cutting back. I'm either doing all the things or I'm doing none of the things.
One time, a long time ago, you said to yourself, I like just talking to people about beer. I think I'll start a station.
Exactly. And then, yeah, before I knew it, I'm like, I'm broke, I quit my job, and this is all I do. Nothing in moderation. So, well,
there you go.
But I'm done laughing at people for trying it. I think you should try it. And it's funny you mentioned, JP, that like as you're getting older, because I thought that the other day. I'm like, you know what this is? I used to hear people go, you know, they get it like my age or older, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, oh, I used to really party, you know, I don't do that anymore. And I always thought, like, well, why? Did you just stop enjoying fun?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, fuck, like, maybe that's me now. Like, even when I go back to it, maybe I'll be that guy who's like, oh, yeah, I used to really hit it hard, and I'm like, what the fuck? I don't even enjoy fun anymore.
Yeah. Well, you can meter it now that you've known the joys of self-regulation.
We'll see.
Maybe you can have more fun in less time with less pedal to the metal.
Maybe.
Instead of 0 to 60, maybe you go 0 to 40, and then you're in bed by 9.
Could happen.
Yeah.
And up at 5:30 like me.
Oh, God, I hope not. The day I call you at 5:30, Sully, you know with that phone call, I'm
going
to be like, fuck,
what's
Sully.
Are you on a bridge right now? What's going on?
I'm just like you now, Sully, and it's wake up in the morning and go do things and take on the day.
Yeah, Sully's in his iron lung going...
Meanwhile, look how successful Sully is. It's probably a good thing.
Successful. Thank you. Keep saying that. I'm in my iron lung.
He sure doesn't dress like it. Whoa.
Well, Jeff, thank you for writing in, and
what does that even mean?
I'll keep you up to date on the experiment.
Please do.
I don't know how much longer it's going to go. We'll see. All right, Damon writes in. Yeah, just Exactly. Great. Depends on how many AA meetings I go to this month. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean.
Damon writes in, it's about our tour. He wants me to go up to Calgary in Canada. He just moved there from Southern California.
He's like, I need someone to bring me home.
He says, yeah.
I'm bored out of my mind.
He does say that actually from such a great beer state, I expected the worst up here, but I've been pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
The craft beer scene is relatively new, but there are a few breweries that are making solid product.
Product.
Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to make it up to Calgary.
Brands. But Calgary's I think it's a push through Canada, right? I mean, it's not like right on the border.
Exactly. Nothing. And I am going to enter like at Niagara, go up to Toronto, around the Great Lakes, but then I'm going like right back into the U.S.
You're just dipping
into Canada.
Doing
a little dip.
Yeah.
So I don't have time to go. That'll be the next tour. I'll do a whole Canadian tour, which will last like 6 months, but have four stops.
That would be great.
Because what the fuck do you do in Canada?
I'll be there in 4 days.
You ice drive fish? Through a lot of territory to get to one thing.
Yeah, you ice fish and become racist. I think
spend a month with Blobber underground.
Blobber, that'd be fun. I'm totally down with that. Wow. If you go to Blobber, I'll go with you.
It'll take Blobber as long to get from his shack in the mountains down to where you are, then it will take for you to get from here up to Canada.
You're right. Damon does say, though, I think the road trip's a cool idea. Can't wait to hear what comes out of it. So, yeah. Thanks, Damon. I don't think I'm going to make it to Calgary this time, but I do appreciate the invite. Let's see here.
Cross him off the list. Wow.
Just broke that boy's heart.
Yeah. Patrick the Brewer writes in.
Patrick?
He said there was no need to read this on the air, but I'm going to do it anyway. He wants me to hit up his spot in New York. He says, I'm not sure if you plan on staying away from the Northeast, the epicenter of the haze craze, but there are good clear beers here, too,
JP.
And I'd like to drink one with you. I'm not against the haze craze, so I'm not avoiding the Northeast at all.
Not for that reason, anyway.
He does say I don't have, like, an Aunt Gilda or Uncle Ralph in Connecticut like you do, so maybe you should visit them. By the way, I don't have a Gilda and a Ralph. They're Italian. It was a Guido and a Carmel and a Gloria and a Tony. Mm-hmm. And anyway, they're all dead now, so I can't go visit them.
That's sad.
Yeah. I mean, I could visit their grave sites.
Pour some tomato sauce over their grave sites.
I could do that.
That's what you do, right? Mission. Yeah.
He says that he is the head brewer at Westkill Brewing in the Catskill Mountains, a couple hours north of New York City.
Hmm. Westkill.
Check this out. He says it's a beautiful brewery on 127 acres on a dead-end road. I'm totally going there. That's the kind of place I want to go.
Yeah.
But you're going to be the thing that gets dead. and killed.
Yeah. At Westkill?
Yeah.
No, they got room for the RV there if they have that many
acres. They do.
Yeah, in the RV graveyard.
Why don't you just back that thing into this 45-degree angle ditch that we dug? Don't worry about it. You can barely see over the top of the dirt.
I'm sure it's a fine place.
He does say that there's like a bunch of creeks that I could drive the bunker into if it catches fire, so that's good.
There you go.
That's good.
Listen to this, though. He says, P.S. I'm sad to admit this, but I kind of had an embarrassing Justin Starstruck, like the Black Crows incident, like the one I had. He said, the only time I met the BN crew. And I read this earlier, and I kind of felt bad about it. He says, you were all at a bar in New York City years ago, which I don't remember.
I do.
Were you there, too?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. Okay. And I remember this bar because I snuck Abby into it.
I was not.
What's the bar?
I don't know. He doesn't say. But he said, you were all there in New York City years ago, and I biked across Brooklyn in the rain to meet you. I got there, and I met Doc first. He was shorter than I thought. I had him try one of my homebrews, which was a black IPA, and he said it was a good Imperial Porter. And then he let you try it, to which you agreed it was a good Imperial Porter. You were taller than I thought. I got on my bike, and I left. So I feel bad, but I don't know shit about beer, so
that's all you said to him too. I could just say, he's like, I don't know, I guess I can bike home now,
right?
In
with
the
my
rain,
shitty black IPA that tastes like a Imperial Porter.
Well, I think it's a nice like a freeze frame in time as to how long ago it was, because people were still brewing Imperial Porter whenever this was.
And I was still traveling with Doc, which was never a sober event, which explains why I don't remember. Yeah.
It has to be Baltimore.
It was after Philly.
Philly, okay. So that was...
We all took the train up. yeah. to New York.
Okay, okay.
You don't remember the bar, though?
So I don't.
I do.
Gosh. Where was it?
She doesn't remember.
I don't know where.
She remembers being there, but she doesn't remember the name.
I remember like walking in with a stroller, and nobody said a word to me, and I was like, "This is
good
odd."
Old New York City, New York City, and Vegas, man. You can do whatever the fuck you
it's
want.
True, except make good salsa.
Okay, yeah, New York City. That's fucking old school joke.
Thanks,
Mike.
Thanks.
From West Palm, Florida, says I was just listening to the Alaro episode. Heard Justin wanted to make his way down to the Florida Keys.
Yeah.
I do. I'm excited about the Keys. He says since he's heading that far south, you should look into the Boynton Beach Brewery District.
Boynton.
It's right off the highway going south to the Keys, and there are 4 to 5 breweries like right there, pretty close together.
Fortified breweries?
4 to 5.
Oh, okay.
If you need any other South Florida suggestions, I can hit them up. I do.
You're going down
I need
there?
All kinds of. Yeah.
Have you posted the map?
Not yet. I'm
just sorry. I'm just showing up just now.
No, it's fine. I'm finishing the map soon.
Okay.
I have a good half of the trip routed out. Just not all the brewery stops, but I do have the route and The Florida Keys part is kind of a personal trip. I just want to go hang out on the beach for a while. I've always wanted to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to spend like a week down there, but then the rest is like breweries and shit.
And how long are you going for?
The whole trip?
All year?
About 6 months at least.
Don't give him ideas.
Right now, I'm scheduled to come back in October, but we'll see. You
know. Wow.
I mean, if I like it.
If you like it, it's going to be called the Sean and JP grenade when you come back.
Yeah.
What happened?
We just
like watermelon on the walls. What's the problem?
Yeah. Is there a clause in your contract to be like, if you can't, they can't like dethrone you or take your shares of the business if you don't show up?
No.
Like
you, okay. Job
you can't abandon. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm so good. I run the business even when I'm not here. But I will say this.
Serious.
I will say this. My limit of how long I can be gone is when my wonderful GM Kevin tells me he's fucking quitting if I don't come back. That's my.
So you'll be gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. So that's my limit there.
Right.
Plus, as of now, I'm supposed to be back in October to do another event for the city of Concord. But if I can get out of that. I don't know.
Yeah, city of Concord. What of he it? Did mean?
Yeah. We'll see.
I'm praying.
Okay, what do we have here? Paul from the Sunshine Coast in Australia writes in.
I love Paul. He's the best.
He says, "G'day, guys. Been listening to the Bamforth show and cringing. Apparently, he had a fanboy moment, too. He said, you guys were talking about making an arse of yourselves and meeting your idols, and I had one of those moments. I firstly was excited to reference the BN regarding his hate for cloudy beers and asked a pointed question on turbidity of beer. My half-drunk brain was not listening to the previous 10 minutes of conversation on the topic.
That he was very excited to be there for.
Yeah, I stood up, made my statement slash question about Warren and JP and the BN and dishwater beer.
Yeah.
Only to be met with, well, I think we just covered that from Charlie.
Highly Bamforth
in his accent.
Yeah, exactly. I sat down dejected and stupid. Furthermore, I referred to him as Professor Bamforth.
Oh, no.
Fuck, he says, which he revealed to us that he hates.
Yeah.
He just wants to be called Charlie. After the formal part of the night, we did have a meet and greet, and I got to meet Charlie and his wife. He was so very friendly, and they were amazing to talk to.
But, and they called security afterwards.
Right. He says, but I still, to this day, think of how stupid I was at the event. Cheers from Paul.
And he sent a photo, because he got a photo with Charlie, and the guy's very drunk and smiley.
Okay.
And Charlie is very British and stoic and not either of those two things.
Right, right.
It's very much, pretty much if a picture could sum up an email, it would be this photo, yeah.
So also, Paul, I just want to say, I can also really relate to how to this day you still like cringe and feel dumb about it.
Oh, God.
Because, you know, I'm such a Black Crowes fan, and I listen to them all the time, and I've almost ruined the experience for myself by, you know, ruining that fanboy moment. Because at least once an album, I relive the moment where I was such a fucking asshole meeting Christopher, and yeah. So I hate I physically cringe and shake once an album. So
should not have done that.
Like I can't shake it off. I can't, you know, unless I like one day get like the chance to meet him again and don't fuck it up.
But I think what you would do is you would try to tell him the story
and he'd look at you
the
like,
first time as if you would like, as if he would care.
You're doing it again.
What I need is like a listener who's like a roadie or something. Like remember with Journey?
Yeah, yeah.
Journey I need
Steve.
Like to like relay the story. So that the guy's like, just bring him backstage. Like, we'll fix this, you know.
Like, I'll hug him. And
it's never going to happen,
I'll smoke
though.
Some weed. It'll be fine.
Yeah. No, but it's never going to happen. I'm going to live my whole fucking... Oh, see, that'd be the worst. If I got back there and he's like, here, smoke this weed with me.
And then I'll tell you. Then you can tell me whatever story you want. But I need you to smoke this.
Because I'm the worst human being on the planet when I'm high. I'm so, like, awkward and fucking... I can't. But if he handed me a joint, I'd be like,
you'd
well...
You have to do it.
What are you going to do?
It's like Willie Nelson.
Yeah. I'm going to say no. No. Yeah. And I'm going to make an ass of myself again.
That's right.
Start asking about all his ex-wives or some fucking dumb shit.
Well, you know what? If you're lucky, you'll get such bad dry mouth that you can't speak.
But I'll try anyway.
Yeah, it'll like glue your mouth closed and you'll be great. Then you'll be...
Justin, what's the problem here?
The best.
Then I'll just stare at him creepily.
Justin, I imagine he's British. Justin, he's British. Really hoping to have you tell me some stories about podcasting.
That's your British accent?
Ringo Starr, yes.
He's not
Hello, my name is Ringo.
That
was
awful.
Robinson is now Ringo.
I feel like that's a Brentwood accent. That's like from where you live now or something. Brentwood. I don't know what that is.
Brentwood would be like basically coal rolling everybody and throwing empty cans of Monster Energy drink at
out of your
children.
Giant raised pickup truck.
Yeah. I need to say
All right, Paul. Well, listen, I feel for you, and I'm sure, don't worry, Charlie won't even remember you. You can introduce yourself again next time.
Yeah, he'll be like, hello, my name is Charlie.
Yeah.
They call me George sometimes. And he wants to sing a little song.
But never John. I don't know why.
Let's see.
Do the whole show that way.
Another New York brewery, Lost Borough Brewing, has invited me to Rochester, New York.
Rochester. I love it. Hello, my name is Ringo.
I played a show there once. Drank a beer. An awkward man came up to me and talked to me.
Oh, I had a Connecticut brewery invite me.
Okay.
That's a reason
cool.
to go back to my home.
Yeah, man.
Let's see. Jonas Griggs, the head brewer at Great Falls Brewery in North Canaan, Connecticut. He says that my cellarman tells me you'll be traveling through the Northeast. Love to chill and have a beer.
Not a listener, huh, Jonas?
Yeah.
Your cellarman had to take the call.
Yeah. Can't wait to hear back from you. Well, this is you hearing back from me, by the way.
Tell your cellarman. Hey, cellarman, tell Jonah.
Jonas. I'm going to try. I'll be there. If I go to Connecticut.
You got to go to Connecticut.
I mean, do I?
No.
Bruce.
Pull up to your high school reunion in your RV and just rev the engine for an hour.
See, I didn't even go to high school there. It's like I'm like a weird Connecticut transplant. I have very little history there other than my whole Italian family was there. That's it.
That's true.
But I wasn't.
Right.
Chris writes in. He wants me to go into the Ozarks. He says, if you end up in Missouri, which that's like how you get to Missouri, right? You end up in Missouri.
Yeah.
You don't plan it.
I ran out of my brakes caught on fire and I haven't fixed it. It's like Doc Hollywood.
Yeah.
You know, you spin out, you wind up and you go, well, fuck it.
The closest one to fix that RV is in Missouri.
That's
so
right.
If you end up in Missouri, he says, come to the Bee's Knees Brewing from Lake of the Ozarks. Be glad to have you. We're in Versailles. I wonder how classy Versailles. No offense, Missouri.
Yeah.
But I'm very curious about Versailles.
I want to know how the locals say Versailles. Because apparently,
Versailles.
So like, but I'm talking to Warren every once in a while. He says that up there in Washington, you don't pronounce Spanish names, Hispanic names, the way you would. So you wouldn't say San Jose.
You'd say Josie?
Yeah. And that's how people know that you're not local.
Really?
And I don't know if that's true, because Warren is a complete insane person.
Yeah.
But he was having locals tell him that. And I'm like, okay, so this is they're
like
fucking
them.
I wonder if it's Versailles.
Versailles,
you know
right.
what I mean?
First of all, I forbid you to talk to Beardy anymore. I don't know what you're doing. Because he's dead to us. What do you mean, why?
Well, that's true. Well, it's about work, if that helps you, makes you feel... comfortable.
Okay, but only work.
Yeah, what are you kidding me? Do you think I care what Warren has to say?
Anyway, I hope Versailles is like gorgeous. I hope Versailles, Missouri is like nothing I've ever seen.
Well, when the coal plant shut down, everyone left. All the massage parlors left.
He does say it's halfway between Kansas City and St. Louis. So
perfect. That gives me a good...
He says, we're longtime listeners and appreciate what the BN is doing for the industry.
Oh, well, then I love it there.
Chris, I just may make it through Missouri, so I'll reach out to you if I do. Love to see it. Okay, Kevin in Dixon. He says, howdy, I thought I'd suggest that since Justin is on the wagon, mm-hmm. now would be a good time to brush up on the BJCP exam.
And well, how long ago was that?
Activate those sensory nerves on his palate.
Yeah.
He says there's a new and easier to use score sheet, and I just may have a newfound appreciation for beer. Anyway, it wouldn't be brushing up for me. It would be like
literally
looking
learning.
At, yeah. And just because I'm sober does not mean I'm not the same lazy fuck I've always been. There is no chance I would do it. Not that I don't think it's a valuable service, you know, that the BJCP and judges offer to the homebrewing community, but I just don't think it's for me. I mean, I get so...
It's barely for me, and I do a show on it.
Right.
So
yeah. I just get bored so easily, and I'm not going to lie, I really get bored talking about beer.
Yeah.
Like, outside of the show,
yeah.
you know, listeners who have met me and, like, actually paid attention know that they just start talking beer with me, and it just glaze over instantly.
Like, and I'm just talking. I was like, where are we eating dinner later? That's all you're thinking about.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, bring me a beer, sure. Yeah. Taste a beer? Absolutely.
Right.
Talk about it?
It's an imperial porter you have here.
Yeah. This is water. And whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I like talking about it on the show, but that's 3 hours out of my week. Done.
Sure.
You know, the rest.
You like to take a break.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Like, what about you, Sully? You talk about beer a lot when you're not at work?
Well, I like the way it just, like, collateral damage.
Well, because you got to talk beer at events and stuff.
No, you know? Well, okay. I mean, look, we're beer professionals. I'm sure you know, you sometimes need to take a break. Absolutely. I don't go home and talk about beer with my son or my dog. We just don't talk about that kind of thing. We talk about... You know, what are we going to have for dinner?
And, but if you're, like, at the bar, right,
yeah.
and someone doesn't know who you are, like, it's not a 2&A event, and you're not Sully,
yeah.
you don't, like, turn to your neighbor and go, well, this is a really interesting IPA, isn't it? Like, you don't do
no,
that.
No, yeah. I don't interact that way.
Right.
That's not my style, though.
Right. And nothing against, like, beer geeks who do that. I'm just not one of them.
Yeah, I just keep
That's
to
all.
Myself. I mean, look, you know, in this industry, you're on a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And you sometimes don't want to be on, and you just, you know, want to
right.
be Sean.
Right. So you order your Cosmo, and you just sit there by yourself.
No, I do, yeah. And I sit there, and I talk about the comics.
Comics. You and JP now.
Oh, I love comics. Okay, so Code is listening to the show.
Code.
And he sent me an article from the Riverfront Times on how to pronounce shit in Missouri.
Okay. Oh, that's right, because he's from Missouri.
Versailles is on the list.
Okay.
And they pronounce it Versailles.
No.
Oh, wow.
That's what it says.
I don't know if this is,
you know, accurate or not, but...
Well, if Code says it's accurate, I believe him. Wait, why name it Versailles if you're not going to, like... You know,
you want to show up and say, where is your palace of Versailles?
I don't understand. But I just, like, then don't use the fucking name.
Versailles.
I don't understand.
I don't know either, man. But there's a whole bunch of them. Kimbrew is how you pronounce it. I don't know.
Wow.
Apparently, Missourians are nuts. So there you go.
I mean, are there... clearly, there was French influence at some point. Did they all get killed off or something? And then it's just become Versailles after that? I got to get a postcard from Versailles and send it to my friends in Versailles and see what they think.
Bois d'Arc, B-O-I-S-D apostrophe A-R-C, Bois d'Arc.
Yeah.
It's pronounced Bo Dark.
I love Missouri all the time.
Bo Dark.
I can't wait to go.
Bona, B-O-N-A, Bunna.
Now, that's just being... weird.
I don't know, man.
That's doing it on purpose. That's just going, you know what? Fuck everybody else. We're going to say it the way we say it.
Yeah. Go to Versailles.
Get can't wait to go
you
to Merced.
You see that all over the place, like, you know, like Massachusetts, Worcester.
Yeah, Worcester.
It doesn't look like Worcester. It looks like
Worcester. I can't even say that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe if it's their accent, but I think that is just deliberate slaughtering of the English language. Well, not even the English language, the French language.
The French.
And so then who cares? Yeah, now, right. Now I'm for the Missourians. Who cares?
Because, like...
it's only French. Who gives a shit? Yeah.
Like, the Louisianans...
Yeah.
...have the French influence, but they keep the pronunciation. But the Missourians were like, no.
Sort of, yeah.
It. I mean... We don't like them French.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we like them enough to take their name... but not enough to pronounce it like they.
That's
you know.
True.
What's the history of that town? Is it? Are we? Maybe it has nothing to even do with France. But maybe it's a guy named Vercel you know, planted
right,
a
like
tree
that.
And they named the town after him.
Good point. Well, it's spelt Versailles. I don't know. I'm spending too much time on this already.
It's like it's a new show, Cities of America.
We spent more time on it here than I'm going to spend in Missouri. I think. Which is not necessarily true.
It's named after the French, so there you go. Mm-hmm. Named after the Palace of Versailles in France.
Wow.
Okay. If I go, it won't be till like August, and isn't it like one of the most humid states on Earth?
It'll
something?
Be here there in the south. It's going to be humid, yeah. August, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But it's in the Ozarks, in the mountains, so I wonder
That's
if it's
like
as humid or maybe it's a little less.
Oh, I see. I was thinking the opposite.
Well, so
you're right.
In August, highs typically are 92 in Ozark. Oh, that's Arkansas.
What's the humidity, though? That's Arkansas.
Oh, man.
Yeah, 92, but 4 billion.
Lake Ozark, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. What about Versailles? Just look up Versailles.
Yeah, I don't want to now.
Look up Versailles then.
This show is now sponsored by Versailles, by the tourism department.
Yeah. I can't figure it out, and by the time I sit and really dig into it, we'll be on to the next thing. So
okay.
It's going to be terrible.
But we got to move on anyway. That's our feedback for you today, and thanks to everybody who wrote in. I will be reaching out to breweries that I can put along the stop and let you know information and what is required and all of that.
Well, you have like a writer?
No.
Like you have to show up. Look, this is what I need.
Sort of. Kind of, sort of.
It's about 60% humidity.
60%? Oh, that's like...
That's not bad.
That's the bay. That's fine.
I'm going to need a bed.
Nope.
M&M's.
Yep.
And
seltzer water.
Seltzer water. Yeah. Some apples.
Cranberry juice.
And every other
some
album.
Attractive females M&M's. And males around you.
Right. You have to import Zachary's pizza from the Bay Area.
It has to be flown in.
Yeah. You got to fly in some Zachary's. You got to give me at least one super burrito. Because you can't get those elsewhere in the U.S. Not good ones anyway.
It would be funny if that happened and like people are all like, you know, worked up about getting the Zachary pizza over here, like in Calgary.
It would be amazing.
And it shows up.
Yeah. I'll just be like, thanks.
That's good radio.
Won't even, I have to like pretend it's not cool. Like, oh, that's cool. Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. It was on the rider. It's supposed to be here.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. You're supposed to do one. I'm supposed to be proud of you that you did your job.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Can you deliver it to my RV, please?
Yeah.
I want it sitting on my table when I get back.
Let's do the show.
Take your shoes off before you go in. What if I'm just what if I just turn into a real fucking asshole?
Just send
asshole?
Into Ringo and say, peace and love, peace and love.
Hello, I'm Ringo Starr.
Yes, I'm Justin, just ordered Zachary's pizza.
I want a pizza that's not very good. Now I'm Robin Williams. Ooh, I'm Robin Williams. Oh
my God. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Session, and when we come back, Crucible Brewing out of Washington. Hang in there.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're tuned into The Session
because life's too short to listen to crappy radio.
All right, welcome back to the program. Thanks for hanging out with us today. And as promised, we've got Crucible Brewing out of the state of Washington. You can go to CrucibleBrewing.com. And Dick Mergens is hanging out with us today. Dick, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
Did I pronounce it right even after I asked you?
Yeah.
Sometimes I do that.
Just like Jergens.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll ask and then I say the name 20 seconds later completely wrong. Anyway.
Wait, what did you say? It sounds like what?
Like Jergens hand lotion.
How often do you say that?
All the time.
Wow, that's really...
Yeah, I quite frequently get Mergens.
Right.
Mergens. Yeah.
Mergens. There you go. Go to CrucibleBrewing.com. And Dick came all the way down from Washington, brought a bunch of beer with you, which we appreciate.
Oh, of course.
Now, I want to jump right into something, because you have a history with Sully here.
A little bit.
There's some connection between you being a professional brewer and Sully.
Wait, hold on a second. How old are you? Because I don't think you could be my son.
Oh, my God. Sully, I just want to say right now, that ever did happen, I would totally do it on air.
I was conceived at GABF.
Yeah. Love this.
My mother's a bartender at Falling Rock, if you don't remember, in the basement.
Oh, my God.
She told me the story.
You're like, which one?
You
have some connection with Sully and you being a pro.
Not necessarily being a pro, but opening my own place.
Okay, yeah.
I'd been a professional for a few years, but I, in 2013, 2014, I won the Glen Hay Falconer Foundation Scholarship.
I remember that.
Yeah, so, Falling Skies, where they had the award ceremony for the evening.
Okay.
I met Sully for the first time. I talked with him, and, we'd all been drinking. So he asked me, he's like, hey, what are you going to do with this
scholarship,
education?
Yeah. Scholarship, yeah.
What are you going to do with the education? So I gave the basic answer. I'm going to hopefully use it to progress my career, maybe be a head brewer at one of the bigger places where I can make a little bit of money.
Okay, yeah.
And he said, fuck that shit. Open your own place.
Yeah.
That must have been a long time ago.
Yeah, right? When you were still hopeful.
So you did.
So I did. I was
joking about that.
I was
just... What kind of maniac does that?
Barley wine talking that night.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You did it? Yeah. A lot of good beer that night, actually.
So, but you won the... what does one have to do to win that scholarship for the Glen Hay Falconer Scholarship?
So that is a... it's an application process where you go through and answer a bunch of questions in an essay form.
Okay.
And then you have to go to a number of professional breweries and get letters of recommendation. And
I see.
Yeah.
So you have to have some chops already to get the scholarship.
Yeah, but it's actually open for home brewers as well.
Okay.
So
yeah, you submit your application, and then there's a panel. We read it, we talk about it, and then we vote on who wins.
Nice.
Yeah, and Sully's on one of the committees,
yeah.
Right?
Okay. I have on and off. I've been back and forth between the Siebel one and then the American Brewers Guild.
And
yeah.
You got the Siebel one.
I got one of the Siebel ones, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So you go and you do that, but you had been a professional brewer before then as well?
I can't remember exactly how long it had been. Less than 2 years at the time that I actually did it. I worked at Mac and Jack's in Redmond
at the time
that I actually won the scholarship.
So, got it.
Yeah.
Didn't you work at Red Hook at some point?
I did, actually. I worked at Mac and Jack's for 3 years, and then after that, I spent a brief amount of time at Hi-Fi, and then I worked at Red Hook for a year before opening Crucible.
Who was the head brewer at the time that you were at Red Hook?
Oh,
do you remember?
Man. Nick Crandall was the innovation brewer.
Okay.
The head brewer. I'm trying to remember his name.
That guy.
Yeah. That's okay. That's not who I was thinking.
So wait, hold on. Just back up for a second. Bring him back to me. Were you thinking, like, I don't want to open my own place? And then I said, open up your own place.
Yeah,
the way it was the moment you were
like,
I have to listen to Sully.
It's like you used the force on me.
Yeah. Wow.
Was it really though? Like from that point forward, you thought?
I think it is.
Said
so. Yeah. Why do you have to interrogate the man further?
He said absolutely nothing else that night to me. He's just like, fuck that shit. Open your own place.
Wow. Yeah. So then you go to Siebel, and you work at breweries after that.
I continued at Mac and Jack's for a little while before going to Hi-Fi and Red Hook. And then finally I was like, hey, I think I got enough experience. I think I can handle this now.
Got it.
So,
okay. And do you have partners in the brewery or?
I do. I actually have my best friend and hetero life mate. He's been my best friend since I was like 11 or 12 years old.
Okay.
His name is Sean Dowling. And I kind of just drug him into it with me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just the two of you.
We're the main part. We've got a couple like minor investors.
Okay, because neither of you is like independently wealthy, is sort of what I'm getting at.
No, I was a brewer.
Okay.
We have a couple people that account for about 9% of the company, and then Sean and I own the rest.
When did you open Crucible?
We opened in 2015.
Okay, and where does the name come from?
We kind of looked at the whole Crucible as very much the scientific and like purpose of the Crucible. It's used in a lot of different fields, a lot of like metalworking and like pharmaceuticals, electricians' works. And it always has the same purpose, which is basically to put all of your stuff in and then heat it up and come out with something different.
Okay.
In a nutshell, that's beer.
I like that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, I like that.
So you're not like, you didn't open like an old foundry or anything like that?
Nothing like that. I always joke with my customers, though, that I named it because I'm a big Arthur Miller fan.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah.
And like, oh, who's got the big head?
Exactly. Look at the brain on this one.
Well, I read a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so you've been open a few years already.
Yeah.
All right. Do you distribute outside of the brewery?
We do, actually. We've self-distributed. We're lucky in Washington that we're actually able to do that. We self-distributed for the first 4 years, and about 3 months ago, we actually signed a contract with Columbia Distributing.
Okay. So talk to me about that. Is it kind of a whole different ball game? Is it difficult when you sign up with a distributor? Do you feel like you're signing your life away?
To a certain extent. I mean, we had a lot of loyal customers and loyal shops that sold our product that not all of them liked the change.
Okay.
But for the most part, we've had a pretty easy transition.
So you don't do any more self-distribution now that you've signed up with this? Or
We're kind of fortunate with that. Most of the time, you have to kind of agree to give
everything
to them. So we've got the two different locations. We've got one in Woodinville, and that's considerably larger than our original location in Everett.
Okay,
but our Everett location produces so small volume that they don't really want anything from there.
I see.
And it's just way too difficult to try to manage all of our brands. We've done 120 different beers in the last 4 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and so we got it put into our contract that we're still allowed to self-distribute stuff out of Everett.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very nice. Now, was there anything nerve-wracking for you about signing up with a distributor?
There is. I'm still the only brewer between the two locations, so I was very worried about being able to actually keep up with production.
You weren't worried about like, oh, I'm losing control or like things are going to be different. You were just worried, shit, they're going to sell more beer than maybe I can make.
Yeah, pretty much.
I see.
It takes that headache away. You're not schlepping around kegs. You're not chasing accounts.
Or checks. Exactly.
You know, and dealing with deposits and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You're just losing 29% margin, probably.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Yeah, it's a lower margin, but it's a lot less headache.
Yeah.
Does a distributor pay you like to sign that contract? Is there like a signing bonus or something?
So we heard rumor of this.
Yeah, so have I. And I've never really actually asked anybody about it.
So we'd been self-distributing for about 3.5 years at the time that we started our negotiations. And I told him, I was like, I'm a distributor. You're buying me.
Okay.
You know, like,
yeah.
So we actually did get a signing bonus.
Okay.
So,
So that is not an uncommon thing for distributors to do.
I don't know how common or uncommon it is, but if you're a new brewery and you're going into it and you are self-distributing, make that a point.
Okay.
Yeah, because your hand, you know, the way if one distributor had been selling your beer and then another distributor wanted to buy this distribution rights, they would sell them like for a certain multiple.
I see.
You know, based on, you know, whatever, you know, number you come up with. But so it makes absolute sense. You know, if you're self-distributing that you would sell your rights, that makes absolute sense.
Yeah.
Is it a double-edged sword in the sense that if you wanted to take distribution back yourself, you would then have to buy yourself out?
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. The contract that we signed actually has us listed for 3 years gross profit.
I see.
Yeah.
That's what your buyout would be.
Yeah. So basically, 30% of total dollars times three.
So I hope you like this distributor.
I'm liking them so far. I really enjoy them. I'm not having too hard of a time. I've worked in the industry long enough to kind of, and I've dealt with this distributor specifically through Mac and Jack's when I worked there.
Do you have your own sales team out running around? Or?
I do. Okay. Yeah, Erica, she's fantastic.
So that's
so good.
That's kind of so, that was part of my next question. That I guess, especially with so many breweries now, part of my worry with signing up with a distributor would be like, what are you going to do for me? Like, you have so many brands, and are you going to rep mine? How did you select a distributor and with those concerns?
That was a pretty big concern because Columbia is huge. I think they're the biggest in Washington.
Okay.
But they've got a lot of different brands. I mean, they represent like Firestone and, up there. And like, so we're not in the grand scheme of things, we're like a pretty low on the totem pole for them.
All right. But
one of the issues that they had is they didn't really have anything north of Seattle.
Okay.
So when they came in and we talked about signing with them, they decided, or we kind of talked about pushing us north.
Okay.
Because up in Bellingham, like, there's pretty much a monopoly like on it. Like, people don't buy beer outside of Bellingham up there. It's a really interesting dynamic.
Hyperlocal.
It's hyperlocal. So we're able to.
I mean, they do have Chuckanuts. So
yeah, Chuckanuts.
They're not hating life.
No, they are not hating life. Bellingham makes some fantastic beers.
Okay.
But Columbia, the distributor, did not have anybody.
So you
north.
Gave them something to showcase.
Exactly.
North. Okay.
Yeah. So that was a big thing, and they've been pushing it on the Everett North teams.
Okay.
I mean, we get a few sales from outside of like the greater Seattle and Everett North area, but for the most part, it's Everett and north towards Bellingham.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, as Sully asked, you keep your own sales team too.
Yes.
And does that sales team, they go out just like they would normally, but they send orders to the distributor when they make a sale?
For the most part, yeah. They visit accounts that are serviced by our distributor, and they drop off samples and yeah.
Okay.
Still try to make new contacts and just tell them order through the distributor.
Got it.
So.
I'm always curious about this stuff, and I do feel like things are so different now that and distributors are just like breweries. Distributors are consolidating too, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's happening. There aren't that many. There's not as many players out there in the distribution game as there once was.
And I'm not too well versed on this. I just hear tidbits about it. But even right here in the Bay Area, there was like a major consolidation recently, right?
The Reyes Group bought DBI,
which was huge. Yeah. Okay. So anyway, all that stuff just would make me nervous. So I'm glad. Thank you for being so forthcoming about the whole thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, we've got some of your beer in our glass.
Yeah.
And you brought JP a Pilsner.
Yeah. No, shit. I was listening to last week's show, and he was actually, I heard him saying about, I want a lager. So.
Yeah. So this is an Arc Furnace Pilsner.
Yeah, this is our Arc Furnace Pilsner.
Tell us about that.
This is a German-style pils. It's made with Hallertau hops. It's a real simple malt bill done with, this one is Imperial yeast. The harvest strain.
Okay.
So yeah. Originally we used the Y yeast Munich Lager 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. But you switched over
We switched over to Imperial. I've got a really good relationship with the sales rep. They actually did a collaboration with us for Eastside Beer Week in our area. So
this is a nice beer.
Yeah.
It's nice. Are you just doing draft? Or are you doing bottles or cans?
We are currently draft only, but we actually have our first canning date scheduled on April 9th.
Ah, nice. Yeah. Nice.
That's going to be a fun date.
Yeah, that's going to be. Yeah, I know. I've done it at other places before, and it's not a fun day. But we've got one of the mobile canners coming in to do that for us. So
enjoy.
Yeah,
it'll be fun. Yeah.
So you say it's a German pils, right? Is it all German ingredients also?
It is. I actually use Great Western Superior pils on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the hops are Hallertau.
Yeah, Hallertau Middle Fruit. Yes.
It's got a nice firm bitterness, like a good German pils should.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep.
But still sort of that nice perfumey malt.
Yeah. Not as soft as a Bow pils, right? Which is clearly what you're going for. Do you filter or fine?
We do fining. We use Nalco. What is it? Nalco 1072.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is this like a real lager? Is it in the tank a while? Or do you do like the fast lager?
It's in the tank for about 5 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
So, yeah.
You've got the tank space for that.
Sometimes.
Yeah, you don't let your distraction.
we don't necessarily have the tank space, but we... I've got one tank that I kind of set aside, and I'm okay. There's always going to be a logger in this tank.
Nice.
Yeah.
If your distributor is listening, he does it fast, okay? The beer's on its way. Shut up.
Yeah, well, if they start selling more of the Pilsner, I'll allocate more tank space.
There you go.
And you're the you're the only brewer?
I'm the only full-time brewer. I have an assistant that works in between his breaks in college. Who comes in and so I get him for like about 3 weeks every quarter.
This sounds a little shady. Keep going.
3 weeks every quarter. Yeah. What's the point?
Yeah. So this is about the time that I actually get to like take a little time and fix stuff that broke. And
oh, I see. Okay, you get to catch up every.
Yeah, but he works one day a week for me.
Wow.
He's my only train brewer.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you, Levi, if you're listening.
And is that just a scale thing? You're just not ready to take on the investment of another brewer yet?
We're at the tail end of paying off all of our startup costs.
Okay.
We're just hitting year five now. So.
Got it.
And realistically, I mean, up until we just recently signed with the distributor, we didn't need it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was able to handle that. We've got 12 tanks between two locations.
Okay.
So,
and you're brewing at both locations?
Yeah, I brew at both locations.
How far away is Everett from Woodinville?
It's about 20 miles.
Okay, for some
reason. Yeah, it's not too bad.
But the good news is that I actually live in between them.
Okay.
So my commute is the same, depending on traffic.
I have to tell you, this is a first on this show, that a brewery has two locations, and you're in two places at once.
Yeah.
You're the only guy doing it.
Yeah.
Except for the guy who's at college just getting laid and then come back to work one day a week.
Oh, he's getting laid all the time. Yeah. He's in nursing school. There's like nothing but him hanging around him.
He works for penicillin. He just like, just pay for my antibiotics. Yeah. I'm fine. It's cheap.
10 years it'll be prep.
Do you enjoy it? Do you still like being in the brew house every day?
I love it. This place is this is my happy place.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're in there brewing, you love it.
Absolutely.
I like that. I don't think rare is the right word, but it doesn't happen all the time. Yeah. Because you've been at it for a little while now.
Yeah.
So, but it hasn't lost its magic and.
No, it hasn't. Well, like I have major ADHD, so I mean, as I mentioned earlier, we're on like. About 120 distinct recipes.
Wow.
So I...
are they all in your head? Or do you have...
They're all in my head. I haven't written down anything.
And then an imperial order. And then there's a pork.
Are they really all in your head?
Probably not. I probably can remember all of them. They're all on Untappd.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. That's your head.
That's good.
Yeah. Are you a control freak too? Will you have difficulty when you can hire another brewer, like letting go?
I don't really think so. My bar staff might think differently, but
yeah.
I don't believe it. I think you will.
Yeah.
I was that way.
Yeah.
When I hired my first brewer, I was like, I'm just going to step out of the brewery just 4 feet, and that means I'm not here, but I'm still watching.
Sully, I would never have wanted to work for you at that time. I remember you also, and you weren't, I'm not saying you were an asshole or anything, but you were, like, was your baby.
Yeah.
And it had been forever.
Well, it's the thing, I've talked to other brewers who used to do it every day, and then they've had to step back because of, business or whatever it is, and it's like, a lot of your identity is, like, in that brewery. Like, you think, oh, yeah, I'm a brewer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, but when was the last time you brewed?
Right.
I should never have.
Yeah.
So there's definitely that going on. It's funny because today I had to go do something at the pub in San Francisco, 563 2nd Street.
Yeah.
I was in there. It was a media thing. And sometimes I'm on TV.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, it happens.
Yeah.
And there was an issue with like a keg in the back. So Rob Strauss, our general manager, comes back. He goes like, hey, Philly, can you come check this out? And I go in the back and I was like pulling tools out. And I'm like working, I'm walking on top of kegs. And I'm going, fuck, man, this is amazing. I just want to do this all day.
Wow.
Yeah. So it never leaves you. you.
Speaking
but
of
sometimes it leaves you.
Speaking of media things, Sully, I'm your only radio show now, right? Didn't K-Fog, who you were a regular on, you were the beer guy. Didn't they like went under or
fire
got bought
you?
Or whatever?
No, they flipped the station to
it's like talk or some shit.
Yeah, it's
now.
Part of Cumulus, and Cumulus owns KNBR, and so now it's the FM signal
Sports.
For the AM station.
Okay, so we'll talk about this off air. I'm always fascinated by that stuff.
Yeah.
So now you're just Brewing
this
Network and whatever TV stuff you're doing.
It's a good old Brewing Network.
All right, we have another beer in our glass. You also brought JP an IPA.
Yeah.
So this is your flagship IPA?
This is our flagship IPA. This one's called Flintlock IPA. It's I like to refer to it as a fusion IPA. It's not necessarily the same as a New England or a Northwest.
Okay.
I bitter it. It's still
it's got like a firm. Yeah. I haven't tasted it yet, but you're saying it has like a firm
bitterness.
Yeah,
it smells so awesome.
It has a good aroma.
The aroma is so good.
Yeah. What are the hops?
I haven't tasted
here.
It yet.
This one is Mosaic, Amarillo, and Mandarina Bavaria.
Can't go wrong there.
So he's like, you need 12 more hops in this.
All those cheater hops, you know,
and Azaka.
Oh,
and
Azaka.
I brought you guys a beer with Azaka in it.
Nice.
Thank you.
Is it? Does it have double Azaka?
It does. It's double the Azaka.
It's actually called Azaka Squared.
For good measure.
This is a great IPA.
Yeah, thank you.
I can see what you mean, how it's kind of in the middle between Northeast. It's got a little bit of the like Northeast hazy mouthfeel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
But then with bitterness.
Would this be a Midwest IPA then?
Let's call it a Midwest IPA. I like that.
There you go. You can have that.
You can have that.
I think he might be onto something there.
But you also said that it's kind of like Northwest. What makes a Northwest IPA?
Northwest usually have like a decent sweetness to them while still being aggressively like bitter and...
So more than like a straight West Coast IPA, which would not have much. It'd be drier if it was a West Coast.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, the Northwest ones generally have like a good like caramel malt and...
I think that adds to the mouthfeel that you have in there that's kind of like a Northeast. So that's a good beer.
That's
thank
nice
you,
beer.
Thank you.
Great choice of hops too.
Thank you.
Like you said, cheater hops.
Yeah, they're cheater hops. Yeah,
cheater hops.
Are they the same hops in the kettle and the dry hop?
Correct.
Yeah, and the like just three and three in both varieties. Is that what you said?
So
three
I dry hop twice in this beer.
Okay.
The first dry hop is just done with Mandarina and Mosaic.
Okay.
And then the final dry hop is done with all three.
Got it.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you the first technical question I've asked in a long
time.
go ahead, Justin.
Have you?
What is 12 volt electricity?
I have a story about that for later.
Yeah, all right.
Hop creep. Is that something that you've run into with beers like this, especially when you're dry hopping twice? Have you run into hop creep issues?
I have not ran into any hop creep issues.
So, and then just to be clear for listeners, like, so you're not like gaining diacetyl or increased ABV by large doses of dry hopping like
this. No, I haven't run into any issues at all.
Wow. I think everybody wants to know your secret then. It's just never been a thing. You've never noticed like a rise after, say, your second dry hop?
Well, and like I give it time too, though.
Okay.
And, like I take my final gravity like post dry hop.
I see.
So, and I give it time. I taste it. And once there's no detectable diacetyl, that's when I crash all of my beers.
Okay. So from kettle to keg... How long is this beer in the tank with much dry hopping?
This is about 13 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So not
usually.
Not
pretty quick.
Yeah. It's fast enough. Nice big healthy pitch of yeast then.
Oh, absolutely.
What yeast is in this beer?
This one is Imperial Juice.
Okay.
Yeah.
They just call it juice. Perfect.
What do you ferment it at?
72.
Okay.
Oh, that's warm.
Yeah.
But it just stays because it's. I don't think it's overly estery or anything.
No.
It just stays nice and clean at 72.
Yeah, I've had a really good success at that.
So how long is primary at that temperature? Like 2 days?
it's about three or four, yeah.
It's pretty fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good beer.
Yeah.
All right. I want to take a break here, but only because I want to talk more about yeast with you, and I feel like we can go on for a little while about that. I have in my notes that you're not really a fan of even having like a house yeast.
No, I hate the idea of a house yeast.
Okay.
Yeah, you are ADHD, dude, for sure.
He's like, hell yeah.
I'm going to be in two places at once and I want more to do.
I mean, it's sort of like classic homebrew.
I just don't like profit, you know? I'm just going to buy all of the yeast.
Yeah.
Right. You and me both. I don't know. We just keep making poor decisions. All right. Yeah. Hang in there. When we come back, we're going to talk yeast with Crucible Brewing. We'll be right back.
Haven't had this much fun since Doc fell off a stripper pole.
The Brewing Network.
All right, welcome back. Thanks for hanging out with us. We are still talking with Crucible Brewing. Go to CrucibleBrewing.com and check them out. You can visit them in either Everett or, what is it, Woodinville?
Woodinville.
There you go. And, you'll find Dick at either one, brewing, apparently.
Yeah.
That just depends on the day.
Possibly bartending.
So before the break, we were just talking about you, and you don't believe in having a house yeast strain.
That is correct.
Explain that to me.
So my philosophy on beer is I don't necessarily make beer. I make yeast food.
Okay. All right.
And the yeast makes the beer.
Got it.
So I get a different strain for almost every beer that I make.
No kidding.
Yeah, so,
no wonder you're not making any money.
Yeah, right. So, there's a little bit of overlap. Like, if I do my Scottish ale and my bourbon barrel, the Todd, which we're going to try later. Like, those are the same yeast strain. Yeah, there's a little bit of overlap.
Let me clarify, too. Are you buying a pitchable pitch then every time, or are you able to grow your own a bit?
Prop it up. I do. Yeah. I'm lucky that I have a smaller system in Everett, and a lot of the time I'll buy either a really large amount of smack packs from our local homebrew store that I have a tattoo of.
You can give the name. Yeah. What's the homebrew store?
Micro Homebrew in Kenmore.
Okay.
Yeah, they actually sponsored us in our expansion to the second location. So,
in exchange for a tattoo on your arm?
Yeah, absolutely. I sold my body.
Never let him meet Dave Marley.
Right.
You shall never meet.
You know, Sully, I've sent you a lot of proposals in 15 years.
Why not do an A tattoo?
I don't know why you haven't upped your game yet.
I've got another forearm, Sully.
I mean, you are responsible for Crucible.
You are. You are.
We'll talk about that later. I would like to see that happen.
Yeah.
I would like to do it.
But
So go buy a bunch of smack packs.
I have been known to do that. I'll take like a half barrel off the batch of beer that I brew before and breed up. To be able to do the next one, or I will just order a new pitch for my 7-barrel and move it to my larger system. So
how many tanks do you have total?
I have 12, I think.
So
11.
Are you saying that at any given time there could be 11 or 12 different strains going?
Absolutely.
Too? No kidding.
Wow.
Yeah.
And is that just because you like the variety that yeast offers in the flavor?
Absolutely.
I see.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I like the idea that each individual yeast produces its own character.
Yeah.
And I just play with it.
You know, if you're going to be a master of anything in brewing, yeast is like the thing to
yeast
be.
Yeast is the thing.
You know, like there's a bunch of hop guys out there, and we've talked to malt guys, but it's very rare that somebody comes in and is like, oh no, I want all the yeast, and I want to know about all the yeast.
That's my thing.
That's really cool, though. I mean, it is difficult. Cool. I mean,
it is difficult, but I mean, if you kind of peel back the financial part, the idea that you're using a specific yeast for a specific style of beer, that makes sense. But I mean, props to you. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, I do use a lot of like the Imperial Juice is what I use for my hazy IPAs.
Okay.
Hey, that's.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Yeah. So if you kind of dial in a beer that you're going to repeat, you don't just keep changing the yeast on that.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
So for your one-offs or something you're experimenting with to maybe even become a regular, you might change the yeast.
Absolutely. Yeah. Usually my different yeasts are on my smaller system, and I will I'll just throw out whatever I think this beer should represent.
Okay.
But my main beer. I mean, Flintlock is like 60% of what I sell, the IPA. So
okay.
And that's the same yeast.
Yeah, that's
what
the same,
are you using
the
there?
Same yeast.
That's the juice.
Yeah, that's Imperial juice. Okay. Yeah, 838. So,
okay.
I also use some of my like clear IPAs. I use San Diego Super Yeast.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's great yeast.
Never mind.
What?
Not a fan?
No, I was just going to say what a sad state of affairs that we have to differentiate that we have clear IPAs. Those are called IPAs. Everything else is cloudy IPA. Yeah. You don't have to, it's not the other way around.
For what it's
worth.
I love
this rant.
For what
it's
worth.
All day.
Year two, I couldn't make a hazy IPA for, I mean, if you could hold a gun to my head, I couldn't make a hazy IPA. So.
I like you better than.
I tried and it was clear.
Oh, really?
Oh, you couldn't actually. You just couldn't do it because you couldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was just like.
You were trying, though.
I was like 60% oats and wheat. And
you're like, it's not.
I was like, why is this clear?
Right. The yeast guy can't make a yeasty beer? What the hell?
Oh, well, it's polymorph bicarbonate dioxide. Justin, biotransformation oxidase.
All right. Well,
all right.
Now we have a sour beer.
Yeah, we got a sour. This one's a barrel aged sour. Yeah,
and it smells amazing. What about yeast for this?
Are you
into like spontaneous? Let stuff jump in, or do you propagate?
I do a lot of things with my sours.
Okay.
So
you should have told me before I drank this.
Right.
What's this one called?
This one is called Rest in Peaches.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. Too soon.
Well, this one wasn't named after Kobe. It was. The day before I named this beer, it was actually my cat died.
Oh no.
Yeah. So this is.
Even worse.
Was the cat's name Peaches?
No, it was George.
That would have been fucked up.
but oddly enough, his cat could hit a three-pointer like nobody's business.
Right. So. Absolutely. Yeah. But this beer was a lot of fun for me. So, but this is our fourth anniversary beer, actually.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That's a hell of an anniversary beer.
Yeah.
That's a redemption day.
Yeah.
Did you pitch the bugs into this?
Yes, but so. What I did is I actually went around. I made a whole bunch of yeast starters.
Okay.
And I went.
Of course you did.
Yeah. So I went all over Washington, and I actually just set them out overnight and like harvested some wild stuff from the air. And what I got that was good, I pitched into a barrel and propagated it up, and then transferred it to other barrels. And
how did you decide what was good?
Basically, I set it out in mason jars, and I would
taste it.
I'd just pour some out and taste it.
Okay.
Like, if it was good, if it smelled good, like I would taste it. If it tasted good, I would pitch it.
And that's the one you would propagate. Okay.
So I went to Prosser. There's a lot of wine vineyards there. Yeah. So I went over there. I set a few samples out. I got some from there. I went to Arlington, had some apple orchards.
Nice.
Set those out. I put some out on my back porch.
How long did you leave them there for? You just leave them in process and come back the next month?
No, or? I just did overnight.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Overnight, yeah.
You can't do that here, Sully, because homeless people will just come take it. You know what I mean?
Isn't that really just another word for, like, wild yeast?
Homeless people.
They're homeless yeast. Yeah. They don't have a home floating around.
Yeah.
Crazy fuck.
Yeah, I mean, and, like, I did add some commercially pitched yeast just to kind of kick it up. I some Brett Brooks and Brett Lambicus and such.
So. This beer makes me want to fall off the wagon right now. I could drink a pint of this.
I brought an extra one for you.
It's so tasty.
Enabler.
Yeah. And so it's your fourth anniversary beer. How long did it age or ferment before you served it?
This was in barrels for 3 years.
3 years. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And no oxidation issues or anything like that during that time? I don't taste it anyway.
Yeah, maybe your palate's better than mine, but I haven't tasted anything.
No, I'm not tasting a thing like that.
No, smells great.
Yeah,
tastes great.
Did you have to keep the barrels topped up to do something like that for that long?
Periodically, I did actually go and top them off with some other beer that was similar to what I put in from a base.
Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously it has peaches in it.
Yes. Yeah, this
Anything
one's actually
else?
Peachy. It actually does have a little bit of raspberry in it.
Oh, yeah.
So this one's a combination of three barrels that I did with peaches and one with raspberry.
So good.
Yeah.
It is. It's like a sweet tart without being too acidic.
Yeah.
No, but there's a firm acidity.
Yeah, but it's not...
not like Rodenbach.
It's not abrupt.
No, I agree. And it wouldn't be as good without it. I think you kind of like I've come to appreciate a firm bitterness. I also appreciate like a firm acidity like that.
Yeah. And I tried to make sure that there was like minimal acidic character to it.
Yes, sure. You know, get a lot of that. Yeah.
How do you make sure of that?
I taste it, and if it's acidic, I dump it.
So how many barrels was it in?
So this was four different barrels.
Okay. Yeah. And so if one of those barrels got gnarly, you would just dump that?
Just dump it, yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't dig on the vinegar.
This is a good beer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like that. Okay, so a bunch of wild yeast in there that you chose yourself out of. Did it end up being like one of those jars or multiple jars
this,
that you left around?
This was, so I put about 50 samples out.
Wow.
And this is three.
Do you sleep?
Yeah, so were you like on a yeast tour?
No.
Like, what does this guy do?
No.
How are you going to...
You have kids?
I do. I have two kids.
What's going on in your world?
Yeah. I don't see them.
They don't recognize me, but...
I'm told that I have them.
Maybe you're dead to yeast guy.
Yeah. I was just reading about... He's some tech guy here in the Bay. He's kind of famous. I can't remember his name.
Jeff.
But I was reading this interview with him, and he's done a lot, right? He actually doesn't sleep. He talked about it in the interview, that if he sleeps a couple hours in a week, he says it's like a lot for him. And this is how I picture you in your life.
If you look at my Fitbit, it's it shows about like
a billion.
about 2 hours of good sleep a night.
Okay. Gotta sleep.
Because that's a lot of effort, 50 samples around, and then you gotta go around, collect, taste them all.
You're in Prowser. And you're just hanging out and camping out on the side of the road in the vineyard? I mean, what's going on there?
I'm actually kind of lucky. My grandma's brother owns a winery in Prowser.
Okay, so you're friends.
So, yeah.
Because I'm thinking, like, the cops are getting called on this weird guy.
I'm also related to the cops over there. So
they're like, no, that's just Dick. He's fine. You know, the farmer calls in. They're like, that's just Dick.
He's collecting wild yeast and stuff and bugs.
He looks like he's putting out roadside bombs. No, that's Dick and his yeast. I don't know. We don't ask anymore.
They asked his kids, but they didn't recognize him.
Yeah. Dad? I don't know. JP shows up. Dad?
Hi.
Maybe. Today I am.
Yeah.
Where do you keep your PS4?
All right, and then you've got another barrel-aged beer here, too, right?
Yeah, this one is...
This is your Todd? Is that what it's called?
The Todd,
The Todd? What is that for?
When I first opened up, I would have done anything for a dollar.
Here we go.
I haven't tasted this yet. I want to hear the story first.
This is one more reason never meet Dave.
Yeah.
Just that statement was a huge red flag.
You know, I actually know the story, so allow me to elaborate based on that prompt.
Yeah, so we had somebody who came in. He's like, I'm never coming back here. Like, I live way away. But my name's Todd. I want you to name a Scottish ale after me.
Wow. Yeah. He just randomly blurted that out?
Yeah, and I was just like, I was like, I haven't named my wee heavy in the tank. It's peated.
Wow.
And he's like, I'll give you $100 to call it the Todd.
I feel like this is gonna be tasty in 5 years. Well, here's $100.
There you go. I would name 100 beers after Todd for $100.
Right? So, I called it the Todd. It's a peated Scotch ale.
Okay,
I get peat and no.
Yeah,
I get.
I know. I like it too.
Chocolate graham cracker.
Yeah,
that's what
really?
I get out of it.
Yeah, it's and then I aged it in JP Todd and bourbon barrels. So,
okay,
yeah.
So I read that.
So where's Todd now?
JP.
I have no idea. I haven't seen it forever. Yeah.
They're
JP Trodden. That's a local bourbon distiller up in Woodinville. Yeah.
Wow.
So I read the description of the beer earlier, and I was like, ah, fuck Pete.
Pete, dude.
But I was excited for you.
Yeah.
Still a Pete hater, huh?
But I don't get it either.
Yeah, it's
in the background.
It's mild. Yeah. Like, I'm...
But tell me you don't get chocolate graham cracker.
Yeah.
I don't get that either.
That's all I get.
I get, yeah, I guess, sure.
No, it's like a maple syrup note.
Yeah, I look at peat as something that's very easy to overdo.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hold on a second.
Like putting it in at all.
As it warms up, I get a little bit more.
So go back to Todd.
Yeah.
Beer is great. So this guy gave you $100.
Yep.
You named the beer after him.
Yep.
And you've never seen him since then.
I've never seen him since then. And like I name that beer the same every year.
Wow.
It was probably your first profit.
He might not even know that you kept your end of the bargain.
Was he a local or?
No, he wasn't local. He was like visiting family.
Was he sober?
Yeah. Probably not. Apparently not. I had a contract with him and everything.
On a napkin?
You had a contract?
No, we did. Like, I pulled out a piece of paper and we wrote, like, I will name my Scotch Ale.
You gave him a receipt.
I did. It was like a notarized contract.
Yeah. Trace my hand on the paper.
We both signed it. I photocopied it and sent it with him.
Wow.
I've stuck to the contract.
I guess so.
Todd.
We're proof. We're drinking it right now.
We do one batch per year of this beer, and it's not necessarily always barrel aged. But
okay, do you think he'll give me $100 to name the show after him?
Maybe. You never know.
If you ever
Todd, if you're out there listening, like I have an investment opportunity for you.
If you ever package this beer, the label should just be the note.
Yeah,
handwritten note.
True.
Yeah,
very true.
Should do that. You should actually have people, they could Venmo you money, and you just call
each episode.
Each episode has a different name.
The Todd Show with Crucible Brewing.
Exactly.
$100. It'd be like a Seinfeld episode.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's only $300 a month, though. I might have to up the price.
Yep.
That's $300 you don't have.
Yeah. So, okay, good call.
There's that.
12% beer, this one?
Yeah, this is 12%.
Yeah, you can feel it. Yep. There's some heat there.
So it started out as a Scotch Ale.
Correct.
A strong Scotch Ale. What percent was it before when the barrel?
10.3.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then were you able to calculate that it was going to come out 12, or did that just happen?
Yeah, that's just what happened on this one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there, what was it, Scotch? Whiskey? What was in the barrel?
This was J.P. Trotten bourbon.
Bourbon.
Yeah.
And so is there a bunch left in the barrel when it goes in?
Some of the barrels.
Did you pour some out?
Yeah. No, I leave whatever whiskey's in the barrel.
You do?
Just to give it a little bit more character.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And then you blend all the barrels
And usually I will, I try to release my barrels at the same time that I'm releasing a fresh batch of one of the limited release ones.
So you can blend that in too?
So just in case. Sometimes they come out a little hot, and so you have to blend them back.
Do you always use 100% of the barrels though?
100%, yes.
You do. So you always use all of that, and then maybe you'll add in some fresh beer.
Yes. On the sours, I usually top them off. On the bourbon barrels, I don't reuse.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's a good beer.
It's a big beer.
It is a big beer. You know, like it's more like barley wine to me than strong scotch, but what the fuck do I know? I've never read the BJCP. I think it's really nice, though.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. This one, my two sips I'm allowed is going to get me hammered, I think.
Yeah, it's a heater.
12%, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but not like, not offensive, not in a way that you don't want to have another sip.
No, you don't notice it, but it does creep on you.
I believe this is actually our highest rated beer on Untappd.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay.
I could see, although I like the sour better.
Well, other than our triple IPA.
Really?
Did you bring that?
We brewed one barrel of this thing, and it's like, put us in the top 50 in the nation on Untappd on this that particular beer. I've never re-released it.
It's probably horrible, but it says triple IPA.
Did you bring some out of here?
No, I haven't brewed it in like 3 years. So.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was great.
Okay.
But I'm not willing to lose that much money on a larger batch.
Volume.
Because of the amount of hops you have to put in?
You have to dump so much to actually get your racking arm to...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How many barrels are your fermenters?
So I had my Everett facility is 7 and 15s.
Okay.
My Woodinville facility is 15s, 30, and I've got a 140 barrel.
So, as an example, if you put this triple IPA into a 15... And then you got to dry hop the shit out of it, right? What would you, like,
I would expect to get about 10 barrels out of
that. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Sully, you have a big brew house.
Yeah, but it's all relative.
Right.
We would see significant losses like if we'd be doing a big beer like that. You know, Roger actually has no problem doing that.
Okay.
Yeah. Faction. He'll put 8 pounds per barrel and end up with, like, you know, it's. I've heard of him doing that. I don't know why I'm talking about Roger right now. You got to mention Roger at least once.
Every now and then. Yeah. Yeah, I can see your point, though. That's just a lot of money. But it put you what'd you say? Untapped? Is that what you were number one on? Yeah.
For that. Yeah. Well, it was a top 50 on the triple IPA category.
Oh, so it wasn't all beer. It was like
IPA. No, just in that category. Yeah.
Okay. Because of the all beer, I wonder how many of them are triple IPAs, too.
In realistic,
100.
Realistically, there's not a huge amount of ratings on it. It's just like all of them were fives.
Got it.
Like, honestly. Yeah. So.
Well, your family loves you, and that's nice.
Yeah, right. I know. Honestly, that's what it is.
I mean, your cat died, but your family likes you.
We did it with a collaboration with this local group who goes around and they ride bikes. It's the Washington Bikers and Beer Drinkers.
Nice.
And basically they stop at a brewery and they ride to another brewery.
Okay.
And like we
and hope they don't get DUIs on bikes.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And then they collaborated with us and we made this beer and then
So it's a beer drinking club that happens to ride bikes.
Yeah, pretty much. Yep.
So, it's a beer drinking club with a bike riding problem.
JP's doing the finger shooting as he tells a joke. With all these different styles that you brew, do you have a favorite? Do you have something you'd like to go back to?
Or you don't care? You know, honestly, my favorite beer that we ever brew is our brown ale.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just an American-style brown ale. It's 4.5%. It's a really light, easy drinker. I don't have it right now.
JP's upset.
JP wants to make out with you.
Where the fuck is it?
Yeah.
I mean, he brought you the Pilsner.
Yeah. Yeah, but there's more.
That's what I happen to have at the time.
Got it.
Yeah, but it's a nice, easy drinker. It's a Cascade Hops. It's
okay.
Yeah.
So how many of your beer, what do you have usually, like 13 beers on tap or something?
We have 20 beers on tap usually,
How many of those are the same? Like, do you repeat?
We usually have about 4 regulars of things that aren't IPAs and then 2 or 3 regulars that are our IPAs.
And everything else just changes.
Yeah.
So how does that work with your distributor? Do they only take the regulars?
So what they distribute is our Flintlock IPA, our Arc Furnace Pilsner.
Mm-hmm.
We have a Blood Orange Hefeweizen.
Oh.
It was a Bavarian-style Hefeweizen that just didn't sell. Like, our market.
Okay. Yeah,
like, it just was.
She drew, like, one orange in it and called it Blood Orange?
Well, one day I actually...
Sold!
I somehow ended up with a little bit of a Blood Orange concentrate from... Elysian's Super Fuzz.
Okay.
So I tossed it in the keg, and then I had... it just sold.
Of course.
It sold really quick, and so I put more Blood Orange in it, and it kept on selling, so...
Got it.
So that's actually our second best-selling beer, we've got a Blood Orange Hefeweizen, so...
Okay.
And so those are the three that they have, and then they expect a new IPA out of me every 6 weeks.
Ah, so you do get to rotate an IPA.
Yeah, so we got our standard IPA, a rotator IPA, and then...
I like how you say it. They expect a new IPA out of me.
The overlords expect IPA this week.
So,
IPA. I mean,
you know, that's the way the beer market's going, though, is like you want whatever's fresh and new. You know,
so. I actually think that that's the good part about... I guess what I'm trying to say is I appreciate the distributors realize that and they're allowing it. Because wasn't there a time where they're like, no, we're not changing SKUs all the time. Just give us the regulars.
Yeah.
But now they get that, well, they're going to sell less beer if you don't have something new.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
They want to play the game.
Yeah.
And what do they do? Like, when you do that, I'm going to get technical for like pro brewers or aspiring pro brewers. For a distributor, they just keep one SKU for your rotating IPA, right? Is that how they're able to manage that? So you know this stuff, too.
Not necessarily.
On what you're talking about and what state you're talking about.
Yeah, it depends on... Yeah, each state is different.
Come on.
Yeah. Well, because...
Well, no, I'm talking around something because you can...
Oh.
But you're not really... Well,
I didn't know that.
You're supposed to register each label.
Different label with a...
I don't know anything about Washington.
Washington does not require cola.
Okay.
If you don't distribute out of state.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Meaning you don't have to register the name at all? Like the label and the name?
Not if you don't distribute out of state.
With the TTB, you don't have to do that?
Yeah, the TTB doesn't necessarily require COLA approval. They only require COLA approval if your state requires COLA approval.
Okay, and yours doesn't if it doesn't go out of Washington.
Yeah, Washington
does. So doesn't that mean you could name your beers fucked up shit?
Not necessarily.
Like fucked up shit IPA.
In fact, that's the latest IPA coming out in 6 weeks.
You could get away with it for a little while.
And then eventually, though, someone's going to say something.
Yeah,
okay. But even stuff that's like on the down low, right? Like, you know, like what's an old school one? Like Lagunitas, you know, Chronic or whatever back in the day. Like you could probably get away with stuff like that and no one would care.
Theoretically, yeah.
If it was just sort of on the down low.
You honestly never...
I've got $100 in my pocket. And I'm
if you call a beer
fucked up shit,
yeah, whatever it is, I'll call it.
You're like, I don't care. I'll get caught. It's worth the $100. You don't distribute anything out of Washington? Yep.
We distribute to Japan.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's always an interesting thing to me.
Washington and the emerging market of Japan.
Yeah, right.
What happens with that? Jamil does that at Hat
of Heritage. Actually, we have the same distributor.
Okay.
Well, kind of.
So what is that? Is it just like Japan's like, we'll just take whatever you have?
Not necessarily. I mean, they want like a small amount of like rotators.
Okay.
But then they want like the main things that are going to sell. I mean, like Japan doesn't have a huge amount of IPAs in the market.
Okay.
So they want IPAs. Like our distributor was sold on us with, like I brought over my Russian Imperial Stout and my Raspberry Sour.
Okay.
So that's kind of what has sold us to Beer Cats.
Got it.
And
that's your importer?
Yeah, Beer Cats are our importer.
Do they contact you? Like, how does one even begin the Japanese beer process?
So I'm extremely lucky in this one. My wife's best friend was the former roommate for the owner of the distribution company.
Okay.
So it's
a connection.
So it's baseball shit going on, but we got
it. This one was a connection, yeah. Like, I'm, like, by far their, like, least popular brand over there.
You are the least popular? Like,
we have to take it. Dick's a friend of a friend of a friend's girlfriend.
Yeah.
They slept on my couch one time.
Yeah.
Oh, that guy? I remember him. Okay, fine. Yeah.
But their distribution company started up at the same time as Crucible, and like we met, and he's like, hey, as soon as you're ready, let's do this.
So. Right, and you're like, I'll be ready tomorrow. I have ADD. Okay. And have you been to Japan to represent your beer?
Yeah, I actually just went to the American Craft Beer Experience. I had a really interesting experience there.
Wow, there's a story there.
Interesting how?
This is with the Brewers Association?
So Jamil was supposed to be there, actually.
Okay.
supposed to be there.
Yeah, so Heretic was represented at the American Craft Beer Experience in Tokyo. And Jamil was scheduled to speak at Titan's Bottle Shop for a Japanese Homebrew Association talk on homebrewing.
Okay.
So anyways, he had a last minute cancellation. He did send Andrew.
Okay.
So anyways, the day of the event, I hear from the owner of the bottle shop who actually owns the distributors.
Yeah.
Jamil's not going to make, or Andrew's not going to be able to make it either. You're giving a talk to like this whole, and I'm like,
okay,
what kind of fucking replacement am I for Jamil?
Yeah.
Fine. Keep going.
You're like, I don't even speak Japanese.
Yeah. The guy who got bullied into opening a brewery.
Yeah.
So,
naming his beer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, the good news is Andrew actually showed back up and it kind of turned into like a round robin between the two of us on how to homebrew. But
isn't homebrewing illegal in Japan?
Homebrewing is illegal in Japan, yes.
Interesting.
Okay. But you can talk about it.
Yeah. Just like distilling here, you can talk about it.
Yeah,
we have a show about that.
But they are actually trying to get it legalized right now. They actually just recently started the Japanese Homebrewer Association and Issei Kadoya, the owner of that place, is actually kind of the foreman for trying to get everything legalized.
Nice.
And there's another person who actually won American Homebrewer of the Year.
Oh.
Who owns a brewery over in Japan who's working on it.
Oh, cool.
He's the only international winner. Yeah.
Nice.
So, yeah.
How was your experience there? Did you have fun? Did they have a good beer scene?
Oh, it was fantastic. Yeah, the beer scene, I like to describe it as about 10 years behind us.
Okay.
There's not a huge amount of breweries out there, but there's a lot opening up, and there's a lot of great new products coming out.
Okay.
Yeah. And a lot of experimentation, too. Like, I absolutely love, like...
Give me an example of something. Did you have something strange?
Yeah, actually, Blue Magic Brewing in Utsunomiya.
Okay.
Like, they did a sukiyaki imperial stout.
I don't even know what that is.
Let me show you.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeffy.
Sukiyaki is like kind of like a hot pot where you put like beef and like and they've got this like soy sauce based soup and it's boiling in front of you and you like put your meat in it. And
perfect. Yum. Yeah. And although the beer, I don't know. How was the beer?
It was fantastic.
Really?
Oh, my God. And honestly, Issei, the one who's heading everything up, is one of the best IPAs I've ever had.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, probably top 10.
I'm going to go to Japan. I think we need a Hop Grenade Japan. What do you think, Sully?
Yeah, I love Japan.
Do you send beer there, too?
No, we don't. But actually, it's been gray marketed there because I've seen like check-ins on Untappd or something like that. So somebody brings it in. But
Dick probably smuggled it in.
Yeah, I did.
But
I brought my favorite IPA.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
There's the Japan Beer Times. Actually, there's a magazine that comes out of Japan. I subscribe to it.
Yeah, we've had Rye on a few
times. Did you see us in
there? Yeah. And so, I mean, it's really happening there.
Yeah. I'm gonna go. Maybe I'll drive the RV there. What do you think?
I think you should.
Hit the tunnel,
no problem.
I feel like it'll do just as well on the water as it does on the land.
Oh yeah, really, easily.
To be honest. All right. Well, Dick, thank you so much for being here and bringing all this beer. And I wish I wasn't sober. I would have more.
Looks so good. Well, I was kind of trying to tempt you out of dry January.
You really?
Like, I knew you were a sour guy, so it was like...
I'm telling you.
I brought this one for you.
Of the three shows that I've done, this one is the only one that's tempted me to have another pint. This is really tasty.
It is good. Wow. The sour is good. Mm-hmm. What's the name of it again?
This is Rest in Peaches.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Hey,
yeah.
So you're up in Everett, right?
Correct.
So you're near Boeing?
I am super close to Boeing, 80% of my taproom customers are Boeing.
Okay.
Yeah.
A lot of jets park there.
That's
now,
a good
huh?
Yeah.
Whole lot of jets park there.
I have like 300
right now.
Parking spots, but like there's only room for like four jets. So.
Okay. All right, go to CrucibleBrewing.com and check out. You can learn more about Dick's Brewery there. And apparently you can probably find him at either of the breweries at all hours of the day at the same time. Right?
Absolutely.
How many people work for you?
I think I've got eight.
In between two places?
Yeah, with
Good
taproom.
Lord.
That includes taproom.
You're going to burn out, man. You got to take care of yourselves and hire somebody.
Yeah, it's going to happen.
We didn't even get into the Sean thing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you name a festival after Sean?
I did. I gave him $100.
Yeah, no, actually, my partner, Sean, I mentioned earlier, like every year on his birthday, we throw a festival.
Nice.
It's called Sean Fest.
Okay.
Yeah, and for the last couple of years, I've been trying to hit up Sully.
He won't leave me alone.
Oh. I do. I
Why don't
him a,
you go?
I sent him a message
it's
every
a scheduling thing. It's just a scheduling.
Yeah.
When is it this year?
July 19th.
Sully?
Every year.
July's
birthday.
We're driving the RV. When you are, I'll fly there.
Yeah. Yeah,
Sean, I can't.
Yeah, Sean Fest, we bring in all the Seans in the brewing industry that we can find.
Wow. And yeah, Sully's never shown up for that?
Yeah.
Not yet, Justin. Yeah.
I'll be in Versailles, so I won't be able to. I won't be
you
able to.
Enjoy that.
Yeah.
I'll be at the Sean Festival.
Yeah,
Sully, I'll go if you go.
Celebrating with my people.
Yeah.
Perfect. What does Sean do for the company? Does he do anything?
Sean is basically he handles our marketing and social media, and
so he doesn't do anything.
Not really.
He double clicks on
that's like what all Sean do.
Yeah. It's a Sean
I'm a very
thing,
passionate
isn't it?
Person. He calms me down. You know?
Okay, yeah. So, okay. I can see that.
Sounds like there's a massage involved.
I can see that.
Multiples, yes.
Well, thank you again for being here and bringing us all this beer.
I'm super excited to have been here. I listened to you guys for years.
Well, thanks for that. I'm glad the beer's good, because sometimes people say that, and I'm like, great, we didn't do any good.
I honestly learned most about the most I know about brewing from actually listening to this program.
Wow. Yeah. That is so nice to hear, and the beer's wonderful. So
yeah, it shows in the beer.
See, no, there's no anything.
Yeah.
Well, we got another segment. Do you want to hang out with us for till the end?
No, you know I'm going to be here.
All right. right, good. Well, yeah. Let's do this. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, I think. Am I sure. ready for that?
A quickie?
Yeah. I don't know, man.
I'm ready for that. When we come back, I have just a little bit of beer news, but it's fun. It's fun beer news.
Man, you know what? The two things I love are beer news and fun beer news.
See, I stopped liking fun a few weeks ago.
That sucks.
So I'm doing it for you guys.
I appreciate that very much.
All right. Hang in there. It's the session. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Tyler from Libertine Brewing Company in the Central Coast of California. You're listening to Brewing Network, The Session.
It sucks.
Does it suck?
It sucks.
But that's what's good about it, is that it sucks, right?
All right, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. And thanks to Crucible Brewing. Nick's still hanging out with us.
Yeah.
We got a few things left to
do.
You
can't get rid of me.
No, that's all right. But check this out. It's a new year, and it's time for a slightly better you, brought to you by Duke Cannon. Here's a fact from Duke Cannon that most New Year's resolutions don't last, mostly because dramatic self-improvement is difficult. So that's why Duke Cannon Supply Company wants you to consider lowering your expectations this year with moderate self-improvement. And with that, they've offered the Moderate Self-Improvement Box. This is a real thing.
Is this a real thing?
Yeah. Here, let me get it.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
What is this?
I scored a lot of
stuff.
Are you
pulling that out right now?
This
you have it right in front of you.
Is the Moderate Self-Improvement Box.
Box.
Now, we gave away everything inside of it, so I can't share samples with you. That's how good it was. Last week, everybody wanted a piece of Moderate Self-Improvement. Improvement.
Correct. Even Teresa took some home.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's packed with over $80 worth of premium American-grade grooming, American-made grooming goods designed to help you feel, look, and smell just a bit better.
I love that.
Great soap.
That's totally
great
marketed
soap.
To me.
It's $50 for a limited time, and inside it you get Trench Warfare Dry Ice Body Powder.
Oh, whoa.
I tried that this week. It's good.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Nice.
It uses activated charcoal to deodorize.
Yeah.
Apparently I was smelly because I noticed a difference right away. So that was really nice. Trench Warfare Antiperspirant and Deodorant. Also used that this week.
Yeah. Is that for your booty hole?
No, Trench. That's just regular.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, regular. News Anchor 2-in-1 Hair Wash, which has a nice cedar and sandalwood scent.
That's what I used that today before coming here.
How'd you like it?
It was pretty good.
I noticed you smelled better.
Yeah. You know what I like about it? Just to totally derail.
Yeah.
You don't have to use a whole lot, and it froths up. It foams up very easily.
Nice.
So and I didn't learn my lesson even this time. I've used it twice. And each time I'm used to just squeezing a shit ton of shampoo in my hair.
Sure.
Even though I don't have a whole lot of hair.
Right.
It's kind of like muscle memory kind of shit.
And then it just
totally,
froths like crazy.
Totally too much. I've used too much shampoo both times. So you can really eke out a lot of that bottle.
Good, because it only comes in a 6-ounce thing. So
yeah.
Apparently you're like almost done after two washes. Bloody Knuckles Hand Repair Balm. Working Man's Face Wash. Plus you're going to get the Big Ass Brick of Soap Junior.
I used that today too. Would you like to smell me?
I already smelled you.
Okay, good.
I did earlier.
And that one smells like naval supremacy.
I like it. It's very good. My navel is very supreme.
And then my favorite, the Bourbon Solid Cologne.
Yeah.
Which I really like. So you can go to Duke Cannon right now and use coupon code BREWING. And so not only are you going to get the $84 box for $50, but you can take another 15% off when you use coupon code BREWING, which is a lot of stuff for not a lot of money. All right? Check it out over at DukeCannon.com.
Smells great.
Thank you.
Okay, but seriously, I've been using the Bloody Knuckles stuff myself.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's good, right?
And it's not like gender specific. It has no smell whatsoever.
Yeah.
So it's great. My hands feel really nice.
So I had our agent reach out to Duke Cannon to see if they would do a collab soap with us.
Yeah, any work?
I haven't heard back yet.
Oh,
but
man.
Duke Cannon, if you're listening, we really want to make a hop grenade soap with you. It fits the military motif. And I think it'd be cool.
And I agree.
I think they name their cities, you know, what they're actually called in Minnesota. So you can go there and brew
There's
soap
that.
With them. Make soap.
Yeah,
brew soap. I don't know how you do
makes
it. You
brew it? Soap.
Yeah.
That's a new thing.
All right.
It sounds good.
So you want to hear my beer news for this week?
Yes, please. Jesus, bring it.
According to the New York Post, highly respected journal.
Oh, yeah.
A man has tried to register beer as his emotional support animal. Yes.
You can hear anything about this.
It was not me, although I am.
It was a listener.
I am a little. Yeah, clearly. I am a little upset I didn't think of it first. Floyd Hayes filed a registration with the United States Service Dog Registration website. But he does not know if it will work or not. But Hayes says, I travel from upstate to Brooklyn a lot. And on the bus, they say it's a federal crime to smoke or have an alcoholic beverage unless by prior written consent. And I always wondered, well, where do you get that consent? Not that I'm an alcoholic, he says.
No, of course not. No.
You're fine, sir. Keep going.
Hayes, though, who is a creative director, said beer helps him manage his social anxiety, much like service animals help their owners. Okay. Like, no shit, asshole. I mean, beer has been known as a social lubricant for eons.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you have an anxiety disorder because having a beer helps you loosen up a little bit.
I mean, props to him.
I agree, but I'm upset with his explanation.
I think he's just trying to do this as a vehicle to drink beer on a bus.
That's what I'm saying. If he had said, like, I actually have, like, crippling anxiety, then that's a thing. But beer's a social lubricant, so it should be my fucking service animal dog thing. And I think it's stupid. I'm mad about that.
Yeah, ignoring the entire point that it's not an animal at all,
yeah,
but it's a beverage. Then sure. I would be irritated by that small detail.
He must have paid him $100.
Well, an anonymous worker for the U.S. Service Dog Registration told the paper that the registration doesn't have any legal merit.
Of course not.
He says he can register his beer all day long. It's not going to get him anywhere.
Right.
Said the anonymous worker.
Said the counter clerk.
Yeah.
Right.
Said his wife.
Yeah, I literally just got an email from the Liquor Control Board.
Did you?
Oh, no. Literally just did.
Really? Hopefully nothing we did.
Are you okay? You still got a business?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
We have been known to get people in a lot of trouble. Hayes did tell the Post that so far he's been lucky with his pet beer anyway. He's happily taking it even on the Brooklyn buses with no issues or questions asked. Well, of course.
What does it look like? Is he walking along? Is he having a leash? What is it?
I mean, he's
is
literally like just a... he's doing like the rest of us. Do and he's carrying a beer around every now and then on fucking public transit. He just decided, well, let's try to make this legit and call it my emotional support animal. I am curious what happens.
He sounds like a fucking dude. Like I would yeah. want to punch
or
this guy
brilliant
in the head.
Man.
Or brilliant, no. Yeah. I mean, I've sat on BART with a beer before. You just
of
keep
course.
It on the down low. Like,
yeah.
What's the big deal?
Keep it in a paper bag. You don't pour it into a glass and then step on the fucking...
It's my emotional support animal.
God. Do you think he's poking the bear of emotional support animals? And if you have a bear as an emotional support animal,
it's allowed.
Yeah. It's allowed.
I think that's...
You know, because you see emotional credit. Support animals... You know, I fly a lot, and I'm always like, that's your... That's a big dog.
Right.
You know? Where's that thing going to go?
And it doesn't have to be a dog. Like, the rules are very... they're very
miniature
loose.
Horses can be emotional support animals that you can take on planes.
So, yeah,
no,
not just...
Yes. I believe that. I think they have to be a certain size now.
No, I don't care if you believe it. It's a fact.
Miniature horses are the exception. I looked up the state of California because we get it in here in the bar sometimes. And, you know, there are state laws and there are federal laws. The state laws, as long as they don't, like, trump the federal laws or whatever. Mm-hmm. But in the state of California, emotional support animals they don't necessarily have to be allowed into a bar.
Right.
Or a food establishment. Service animals, yes, but there's a distinction between a service animal and an emotional support animal. However, in terms of a service animal, those can't just be any animal, right? Like, it has to be a dog or, as JP's pointing out, a miniature horse.
Miniature horse.
In the state of California, that's a miniature horse is allowed to be a service animal. So if somebody came to my door and said, this is my service animal, I have to let the horse in.
And even on the plane?
I don't know about that, because that's a California law, the horse.
From what I understand, airlines can differentiate what they want to allow. So I think it was like Southwest or Alaska or something, even last year, said we will now allow miniature horses.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have to let emotional support animals in here, but I don't, like, who gives a shit? Who's going to, like, argue about these things? But
I would.
And you're allowed to ask, is it a service dog or is it a emotional support animal?
Yeah.
And you're allowed to ask what service it performs,
right.
But you're not allowed to ask, like, what's wrong with the person.
Yeah, right. Of course you can't do that.
So, but, you know, they can be
I respect that, you know, that you that some people need those things and
sure.
to support yeah. that. I just want to state that.
Thank you.
I'm a little puzzled on the difference.
There's a difference.
Yeah. You don't... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Raise his hand.
No, I actually used to work at Lowe's before I was a brewer.
Okay.
And literally somebody brought an emotional support llama.
Llama.
Into my store.
How big was the llama?
I mean, it was taller than I was.
Llama
like,
size?
It was llama size. So,
it just walked around the store.
It didn't spit on anybody, so I didn't have any complaints, but it was weird.
I feel like the amount of effort it takes to bring a llama to Lowe's would cause me anxiety.
I mean, they literally had a trailer.
Right.
Yeah.
So the whole
idea
walked
it into the store.
Emotional
they walked
support.
It into the store on a
It's
leash.
A lot of work.
That I never understood. Like, maybe we're getting too deep into it, but
it happens.
You need emotional support while you go to a bar to drink beer. There's actually something wrong with you mentally.
Well,
you need to go to therapy.
Actually, you're defining emotional support. Yes.
That's why they have it.
But they may though. But for example,
maybe,
a common example given, like especially by the state of California, are folks with PTSD, for example.
Yes,
and
beneficial.
An emotional support animal is a very real thing. And because you have PTSD, doesn't mean you should have to lock yourself away either at home or in a therapist's office.
No, there's studies that are coming out now where emotional support animals are shown to actually not provide any sort of actual benefit. It's a crutch.
I'm sure there are. And there's just as many studies that say the opposite. So
no. Okay. I'm saying no, because I've read it and you're just making fun of me right now.
No, I just disagree with you that I think that, as an example, somebody with PTSD might get a lot of value from having their emotional support animal with them and might actually calm them down, allow them to leave the house, allow them to not spend 24 hours a day at the therapist.
What I'm reading about it is it's just an emotional crutch, and they don't need the animal. They just need to put in like work and therapy, mm-hmm. and then they don't need to do this. And then when I'm sitting here, I don't hear your macaw cackling at me. You know what I mean?
Like, well, you don't leave the house anyway, so I don't see why that matters
to
you.
We're pretending if I did.
Because there's not an emotional support cat.
Right. Yes!
See? You're just mad about that.
I know! And a macaw, honestly.
All right, well, anyway,
emotional support
beer,
yeah.
I'm against.
Well, if you drink it in public, are you killing it?
Yes. Yeah.
Like,
he kills his emotional support animal every bus ride. His name is Dick.
Douchebag retarded. Yep.
No, it's Floyd Hayes.
Same thing.
Floyd Hayes, congratulations, sir. I support you.
I think here's what the state should do.
I love it.
They should allow it to happen. But it has to be the same beer.
Right.
He can't drink the beer.
It's warm, flat, sour beer.
It has to be proven that it's the same beer. If he can prove it's the same 12 ounces of beer,
then it's okay.
Then it's fine. Because otherwise, you're killing your support animal in public, and that shouldn't be allowed.
That should be
abuse.
You should apply for the state.
I think
they would appreciate your commentary.
Yeah.
So it has to be the same beer, so it can't be different beers.
No. The same amount of the same liquid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thought.
Oh, you can't drink it?
No.
Oh, okay.
But it's because it's for support.
You know what my emotional support
Maybe
animal
it's the
is?
The glass, then.
Tell me.
It's my balls, now that I've discovered Manscaped.
Oh.
Yes.
Okay, I love this.
I used to feel I used to have a lot of anxiety about the state of my scrotum.
You should register your balls as your own personal support animal.
I've tried.
Sir, you can't bring those things in here.
I'm waiting for a response. Yeah, you need to leave those outside. No one would say that to me now that I've discovered Manscaped.
Disagree.
It's 2020, new year, new me, new balls. So Manscaped is making it easy for me to do that with their new manscaping products. Let's see. Go to manscaped.com, and if you use coupon code BREWING, you're going to get 20% off. JP?
Yes?
I gave you your brand new lawnmower.
You did.
Last week.
Yes.
Have you used it?
I have not used it yet.
What the fuck?
I will do it this weekend.
Okay.
I meant to do it last weekend, and then I just kind of...
What's it up against when it goes to work? Like, when's the last time you did Manscaped?
I think a couple of weeks ago.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm also waiting.
It's not like before the baby.
It's no. It's not for the baby, but I'm sort of waiting for the jungle to really grow in.
Right, to put it to the test.
Yeah. Because what I want is, like, I want to see if it gets clogged with hair or not, or if it just cuts through like butter.
Yeah.
Like butter.
I think you're going to find that it cuts through like butter.
I hope so. I'm actually trying to get a job at Consumer Reports based on this.
I don't like discussing butter and your balls. I don't like the reference.
It seems to work, though.
Because it makes you hungry. I get it. Look, I understand. Yeah.
So, why is my mouth watering all of a sudden?
Well,
I think you're going to find that with their skin-safe technology, you're not going to nick or snag your nuts.
I'm looking forward to it because we've talked about it numerous times.
So is Taryn.
The last time I tried to get that close, I bled. So I don't want to do that anymore.
It's not going
to
happen. Trust me. Right. But you'll have to report back.
All right. It's like going through menopause for men. It's just you stop bleeding down there.
Yes. Okay. And you can use it in the shower.
What?
I don't know.
Which is even better.
Yeah. I like that.
Go to manscaped.com, use coupon code BREWING, get 20% off, and your balls will thank you.
Thank you, Justin.
You're welcome.
All right. Want to do our Twitter game wrap-up?
I would love to.
What was our Twitter game today?
Recently, we were contacted by Netflix to produce the official BN documentary.
Ah, yes.
What's it called?
Hang on. I need notepads and pens. Where's all my stuff? God.
Stop drinking
one thing. Let's see.
Use that. Okay. Yeah, use that thing there.
All right.
You're fine. You're okay.
All right.
Emotional support.
I know.
Speaking of Manscaped, let me just trim
emotional
this
support sobriety going
just
on over
for
here
a second. This one and this one. Okay.
So name our Netflix special, documentary.
That's right.
All right. Go.
Barley Boy says, shit show, the building of a beer media empire.
Mm.
It's a question mark at the end.
Right.
Right.
It's more of a clubhouse, but I'll take empire.
Pete DeDink says, the filth and the flatulence. Excuse me. Let me start again.
Yeah.
The filth, the flatulence, and the fermentation. The life of Bevo story.
Oh, hey.
Oh, why does she... I don't know.
Because I don't know.
Because I have to put up with all of those things.
That's right. Also, Pete, next time, learn how to comma. Thank you very much.
Learn how to comma.
He only has so many characters. Leave him alone.
Adam Sammy says, Justin Crossley, the man who lost the death pool to the social media manager and why it matters.
I did lose the death pool to the healthiest person on staff.
It's true.
Sucks. And what am I going to do now? I have nothing left to strive for. I've done everything except die.
Well, now you just have to outlive us all to piss everybody off.
It'll just piss me off.
Everyone that matters.
All right.
Austin says, from garage to RV, how to make a living talking about beer.
You know, that's not... It's realistic.
Straightforward, you know.
Yeah.
Two more. Ryan Blundell says, almost successful.
Also to the point.
Yeah. And then last but not least, TN Brewing says, how to create a business that creates nothing but destroyed livers.
Right. Okay.
So there you go. Those are the best of the best.
I want to go ahead and point out that Justin is actually writing all these things down, even though they're already written down.
Oh, yeah. It's very it's very serious. Yeah.
He has to do it. It's this thing.
Every single time.
It helps me. It helps me think about it. It helps me judge.
Yeah, because I always have to share a document with them, and that's less landfill.
And then I can never read my writing afterward anyway.
Yeah.
You kind of mumble your way through some of them.
So the only one I'm going to eliminate two.
Okay.
I think I'm going to eliminate Shit Show, even though I kind of liked it. I'm going to take it off.
Yeah, sure.
So, and then I don't like Pete DeDink's one. Sorry, Pete. I mean... Mostly because
it didn't have commas. Of course you don't
like it.
Yeah,
it was too much to write, also. Yeah.
Well, ever since he cut his hair, he's lost his power. He's like Samson.
Which leaves us with, and I'm going to paraphrase as usual, Justin Crosley, not dead.
Okay, well, okay. Yeah. That's an interpretation.
About that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Like lost the death,
sure,
whatever.
Yeah.
From garage to RV, what was the second part?
How to make a living talking about beer.
I like that one. I'm keeping that one.
Okay. It's a little too positive, but that's fine.
Almost successful.
Yeah.
And then destroying livers.
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the only one we lulled at was almost successful, right?
But we didn't arftle.
We almost lulled.
Yeah. So that's our winner, right?
Yeah, I
almost
think so too,
successful.
Yeah. Good job, Ryan.
Yeah. Not like Sully, who's actually successful.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because you hit the big time, Sully. You're a big deal.
The big time.
Yeah. Dick can't even like
Sean
leave his
Festival.
Brewery.
Festival. July 19th, it's, and ever it was. Yeah. The Crucible Brewing.
It's because they can't make a watermelon beer.
Nope, not many people can.
What was that? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Or you'll get sued.
Son's going to school on that beer.
Yeah. He's going to Harvard, for God's sake. What's happening at the brewery now? You've been gone for 12 hours.
Exactly. I honestly don't know. Like, I haven't had time to check my text messages.
When are you going back?
Wednesday.
Oh, you're sticking around. You must have filled the tanks before you left or something. Yeah. You know.
All right, that, is your intern that works 3 hours a week coming in?
No.
Oh, it's a shit show.
Wait, get it right, Sully. 3 hours a week once a quarter.
Exactly.
Right.
At nursing school.
People think that I was the smart one with this whole gig. That guy's got it made.
Hell yeah.
What do you pay him? Beer?
Nothing.
Mostly beer. Mostly beer. Yeah.
You don't have to like pay his tuition or anything like that?
No.
Does anybody pay his tuition? He's just racking up
I don't even pay him. He just thinks he works for me.
Perfect. Yeah. He's here again.
What's going on?
Guy's a veteran. He just like, he makes his VA allowance and he thinks that it comes from me. So it works out well.
I love it.
Well, not very bright.
Shut up.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Next week, we are off. JP's favorite guest.
Really?
Nobody.
I thought I was coming in. It was on the calendar.
Oh, yeah. No, you come in.
Yeah, you're in.
Yeah.
Where is everybody?
Well, this is Sean.
Hey, Sean, you're going to talk about a festival July 19th up in Everett at the Crucible.
Maybe Ringo
Festival.
Maybe Ringo will call in.
Hi, my name's not Ringo. It's Sean at the Sean Festival, the Crucible in Everett, Washington.
We are back at the beginning of SF Beer Week, though, with Revision Brewing Company. My friends from Revision are coming in, and this was going to be my last show, but now that's my last show before I hit the road. Yeah,
yeah, I'm taking over for a while, which nobody wants to have me do.
JP's going to take over while I take care of a few things, get on the road, and then all the shows will happen from the road until. I don't know.
Question mark?
I don't know. We'll see. See how much I like it out there.
I have to check in on you. I'm a little worried.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to fly into these, you know,
I think so
where
too.
You are. I mean, like, and have like a little meeting with you and just look you in the eye and go like, everything okay out here?
See where I'm at? You're worried about me? Like
a little off the reservation here.
He keeps threatening, but he can't even come to Sean Fest.
So. See? Yeah. I'm never going to see him.
Well, Bev and I are trying to, or we're gonna plan a couple of jaunts. You should come with us.
Yeah.
I
think we have to tag team this so that we're with him. Somebody's with him every week. You okay, Justin?
I wouldn't mind that. Do you guys think you're going to run into something different? Like, I'm just, you run into me like I'm just on mushrooms all the time, like, and I barely wear clothes.
We said different.
You're like Dennis Hopper and like, you know,
Blue
Apocalypse Now or something.
Yeah.
Like, do you think I'll become more professional or less professional out on the road? You know?
I think it'll be, I don't know. I think it'll be just exactly the same.
Yeah. Exactly,
I think you have to load up on a lot of Duke Cannon products because I'm really worried about your hygiene.
I have been stocking up on it, and yes, you're right. But all the plumbing works in the RV, so, you know.
We're talking about the RV still?
Yeah. I thought you were talking about something else.
All the plumbing still works. I don't know. Maybe.
I think you're going to come back married. That's my prediction.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to New Zealand first. Don't forget that. I'm spending the month of March in New Zealand. I think if I'm coming back married from anywhere, it's going to be
New Zealand,
there.
Really?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Okay.
I like chicks with passports.
Justin has a friend on his tour.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Hey, guys, I know we were talking about you coming
you
out, but
accents?
We're not, you know.
Anybody can have a passport.
Oh, sorry, foreign passport. Actually, that's not really true. A bunch of Americans don't have passports. In my experience.
Yeah, that's true.
Women with passports come from another country.
Hmm. Hello, Justin. My name is Cheryl. I'm from New Zealand. Would you like to go out with me?
Your voice is a little deep for me, Cheryl.
No.
But I can get over that, I guess.
Oh, Justin, hey.
Show me your passport.
What is the Robin Williams thing? I don't know.
That's your pickup line?
Show me your passport. After that, I just close my eyes anyway.
Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
I'm going to passport for you.
Oh, my God.
What, a piss on my floor? What are you talking about? No passport.
Yeah, I hope I come back from New Zealand married.
I hope you come back from New Zealand.
To a woman.
Yeah. Look, love takes on many different shapes.
Don't limit myself.
Yeah, don't limit yourself.
You're right.
Love has many inputs and outputs.
If that happens to you, I'm right behind you. Just pave the way for me.
I'll show you. Yeah, you got any
friends? Sully, they're here. Come here.
My friend Sully's coming along. You got any friends?
I've got a couple friends in the old folks home, Sully. Come out and join me.
What if I just don't even come back from New Zealand? What if that happened? That
honestly, would be, that would not surprise me.
That would be the fastest burnout in history.
Right. I just don't like being on the road. Stay
really,
here.
But it's a really nice country.
14 years coming.
Right. Yeah, true. Even more, 15. Think about it.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about right now.
All right. So we're off next week. When we come back on the 10th, it's SF Beer Week with Revision Brewing Company. And then don't forget, Wednesday, February 12th, I will be down at the Torpedo Room in Berkeley interviewing Ken Grossman and Charlie Bamforth.
With your buddy Ken.
Yep. And the original Sierra Nevada Brewery will be on hand. It'll be parked out front. You can go check it out.
Hell yeah.
Those of you who are into a little bit of beer history, come check it out. All right, JP, you going to get us out of here?
Sure, dude.
All right, Dick, thanks for being here and for coming all the way down and being in studio. I appreciate that.
Of course,
this
is an awesome experience for me.
I hope you had fun. And
I've been drinking.
I hope the place didn't burn down or your beer's fine when you get back.
Yeah,
and,
or both.
You know. It's probably both.
Okay.
Sean says July 19th.
Exactly. Sully will be there, he says.
With other Seans.
All right, take us out of here, JP.
Thank you to our show sponsor, More Beer. You can get absolutely everything you need to make great beer at home by going to morebeer.com. Dick from Crucible Brewing flew down from the state of Washington to come talk beer, Sean, and Todd. What does that mean? Well, learn more over at CrucibleBrewing.com. Do you have extra money? If so, head over to patreon.com/earsup and support JP in his quest to become supported monetarily by you. If you love Twitter and homebrew, follow Nate Smith at Nathan Homebrew, Mike McDowell at TC McD, and you can unfollow Warren at Another Beardy. Sully's there as well as Sean O'Sullivan. Keep track of JP over on Instagram at Major Jip, and you can find Bebo there as well at Beverly M. Moore. Be sure to find the Brewing Network on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
JP's an asshole. Just leaves a nice guy and